said, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Please stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next, right after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Karen Riegel. People in the West looking for any relief they can from temperatures topping 100 degrees. CBS News correspondent Steve Farterman joins us live with more.
And Karen, what actually is relief when it's this hot? In Death Valley yesterday it was 128, today only 127. In Baker, California, home of the world's tallest thermometer, yesterday it was 125, today...
Hold on 1 second, let me look at the thermometer, okay?
We called this woman in Baker who went to check.
Yeah, we have a 118 and outside the thermometer.
7 degrees cooler, but can you even tell? Doctors are urging people, especially the elderly, to take it easy. Live in Los Angeles, Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Employees of the National Hurricane Center aren't being shy. They say they want Director Bill Proenza out.
I think he's been misleading the American people on the state of the hurricane program, and the staff just did not agree, and he has not been listening to his staff, and he continued to go to the media, and our views have not gotten out there.
Hurricane specialist Daniel Brown is among 23 employees who've signed a statement calling for the director to be replaced. Proenza says he's got no plans to step down, but says he would if it would benefit the staff and the public. The FBI says two of the suspects in the UK terror scare applied to get into the U.S. through a Philadelphia group that hooks up foreign doctors with jobs in America. Terror expert MJ Gohill isn't surprised.
The biggest challenge for the terrorists after 9/11 has been how to enter the USA to launch an attack. The best way is to come in as a legitimate person seeking employment.
New Jersey's governor is signing into law a bill that requires the Garden State to make big reductions in greenhouse gases. It comes a day before the big Live Earth concert, which is supposed to draw attention to global warming. WCBS's Marla Diamond has more.
A day before some of the biggest names in rock and roll take center stage, former Vice President Al Gore and New Jersey Governor John Corzine got their moment in the spotlight.
And we want to send a message to Washington. Wake up. Get with the program and start doing something about climate change, greenhouse gases. It's time to work.
New Jersey's toughest in the nation law aims to reduce greenhouse gases 20% by the year 2020.
The unemployment rate stayed pretty low last month.
The unemployment rate, it's at 4.5%. That's where it's been for the past year. And that's consistent with a job market that's operating at full tilt. Most people who want a job can get one.
Economy.com's Mark Zandi does say job growth was a little slower than usual. Blame the slow housing market and the troubled auto industry for that. If you're feeling comfortable about your stock account, you can thank a tourist, too. A Merrill Lynch analyst says tourism is the reason the U.S. economy is posting strong numbers. Various sales are down, but the weak dollar is luring foreigners here, keeping the nation in the black. The Dow closed up 45 points, the NASDAQ up 10 points. This is CBS News.
I'm a jockey, and when I'm racing, I can't let my allergy medicine put me in a fog. So I only ride Claritin Clear. Claritin works hard to relieve my worst allergy symptoms. Sneezing, runny nose, for a full 24 hours. It works so well, only Claritin has proven to make me alert and focused. Not drowsy like some other medicines can. When I get allergy relief and stay razor sharp, I'm ahead from start to finish. Stay alert, stay focused, live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed, only brand clinically tested.
Can you guess which state Michelin Man is in? Having left Utah, he's on the aptly named Loneliest Road. He'll drive vast distances without anything in sight, including a gas pump. That's why he has Michelin Hydro-Edge tires. As the longest-lasting, most fuel-efficient tires in their category, they're just right for lonely roads and high gas prices. For more on Hydro-Edge tires and to see which state Michelin Man is in, visit michelinman.com/guesswhere.
Michelin, a better way forward.
Category defined as premium-priced S&T passenger products.
The Freedom of Information Act's been around for four decades, but it might take you that long to get the information you're looking for.
Frustrated about its own failure to get responses to Freedom of Information Act requests, the National Security Archive filed new ones with 87 agencies asking for their oldest cases.
Stunningly, we found that there's a FOIA request as old as 20 years still pending.
The group's lawyer, Meredith Fuchs.
There were many others that were more than 15 years old, 10 years old, 5 years old.
The law, which turned 40 this week, requires responses within 20 business days. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Burger King is going trans fats free. The fast food chain says all of its restaurants are going to be frying in an oil devoid of trans fats by the end of next year. Burger King held a bunch of taste tests and found that most of their customers couldn't figure out the difference between the old oil and the new. More than 7,000 of Burger King stores are already using the new stuff. Wendy's made the switch last summer. McDonald's said they'd make the move earlier this year, and Starbucks went trans fat free in the spring. Karen Riegel, CBS News.
Get the good stuff.
This is Michael Waltrip, here to let you know about a great new product at Napa. Napa now has 3M Performance Finish, a superior new waxing solution that actually bonds to your car's paint surface, providing long-lasting and durable paint protection, not to mention a deep gloss finish that will be the envy of all your neighbors. Protect your car today with 3M Performance Finish, just $12.49 at Napa.
Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Hi, what can I get you, sir?
I'll have a tall cappuccino with a touch of cinnamon and some peace of mind, please.
You got it.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles, because we notice everything. Everyone must pass a 115-point inspection. You even get a vehicle history report, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. Now that's peace of mind.
Oh, and I'll have some confidence, too.
See your dealer for limited warranty coverage details or visit FordCPO.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage.
How about health care?
Conversation toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Yes, here in San Francisco, we have a plan that's going into effect that will provide health insurance for every resident. Ah, would that all of America could say that. This first hour today, we're going to focus on healthcare in America. Michael Moore's new film, Sicko. We'll get a review from Chris Hayes of The Nation a little bit later this hour. And right now, we're working to connect with Democratic presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich, the congressman from Ohio, who in my book has it all on the issues. He's got the right position against the war. He's got the right position for universal single-payer health care in this country. And he has more detailed proposals than almost anybody else running for president. There was no train station. Also on today's program, we're going to preview the Live Earth concert, which will be going on this weekend at venues all around the world. And Jerome Ringo, who is the head of the Apollo Alliance, we talked with him in Washington just a couple of weeks ago. He will join us to talk about the event that's happening on virtually every continent. And it'll be on a TV set near you. I hope you will access it over the weekend when your schedule permits. Also, we just learned moments ago that California's Senator Barbara Boxer will join us for a few minutes next hour to talk about live Earth and climate change issues. Also on today's program, Professor Marjorie Cohn, who is a constitutional law professor and president of the National Lawyers Guild, will join us to talk about the commutation of Scooter Libby. And, well, his sentence actually was commuted, not Scooter himself. And also, there was a development here on Friday as a federal appeals court in Cincinnati, the town where I grew up, threw out the lawsuit put forward by the ACLU and a number of defendants, including my friend James Bamford, who is a national security investigative reporter. The case was thrown out for lack of standing, but as Marjorie Cohn will tell you, the justices on the appeals court offered very strong opinions about the president's violation of the law, the FISA law. So that'll be coming up a little bit later on. And then Brad Friedman will join us in our third and final hour, as usual. We're going to talk about election protection issues, and we're going to zero in on the Holt bill, H.R. 811. And we have some sound bites from Rush Holt on a recent radio interview that we will share with you. He even mentioned Brad Friedman by name. and talked about the disagreements they have about the election protection legislation that is working its way through Washington right now. So we've got a full agenda, lots to talk about on the program today. At any moment, you're welcome to call in with some of our guests. We may not have enough time to take your calls, but give it a try anyway. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. And you can always email me. My email is peter@peterbcollins.com. You can email me during the show. I usually check every break. And you can email me, too, after the fact, including our lucky listeners in Portland, Oregon, who hear us on Saturday and Sunday afternoon on KPOJ 620. Again, my email is peter@peterbcollins.com. And that's the website, too, where you can catch our archives and catch the live stream Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m., as we originate from San Francisco. And, yeah, there's even a picture of your humble host there at peterbcollins.com. So have you seen the movie Sicko? I got a chance to go to the theater and see it the other night, and I give Michael Moore credit because he used a great deal of restraint. And it's a kind of a kinder, gentler, less partisan Michael Moore film. And in some ways, I was a little disappointed because I didn't think he was as edgy as in Roger and Me or Fahrenheit 9/11 or the Columbine movie. I don't think that he confronted power in the same way that he has in the past. But I think that he did something that will probably resonate with people unlike me and perhaps you, who don't have a clear picture of the problems in our healthcare system. If you haven't seen it, Sicko covers insured Americans. It doesn't even attempt to look at those of us who are uninsured, but it looks at those who have insurance, come to rely on it, and then, boom. When something tragic happens, the coverage isn't there, or the insurance company or the HMOs weasel out of it. And Michael Moore does a good job of painting what the problems are with our healthcare system. And then he kind of shifts into some scenes in Canada, scenes in Britain, scenes in France, and then finally in Cuba, where he shows that they have universal single-payer health care and that it works very well. So with that, Congressman Kucinich is on the line. Dennis Kucinich from Ohio, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you very much. Good to be on the show.
Congressman, it's great to talk with you again. We have about 10 or 12 minutes here. I'd like to primarily talk about health care because you asked for that last time we chatted when we mostly were focused on the issues related to the war. And before you go today, too, I'd like to ask you about impeachment and about H.R. 811.
Sure, let's do it.
But first up, the movie Sicko, I think, is opening a lot of eyes and perhaps some minds to the real crisis that we face. And as I was just pointing out, Congressman, the movie Sicko focuses on the problems of people who have health insurance, who have an expectation of health care available. For example, that one woman who was in a car accident was dinged because they hauled her out, put her in an ambulance, sent her to the hospital, and her HMO rejected the cost of the ambulance because it had not been pre-approved. Those are just, you know, the kinds of examples that Michael Moore brings to the screen. But you have been the clearest, strongest proponent of reforming our health care system. You have the longest-standing, most explicit proposal for single-payer universal health care coverage in this country. And in Friday's New York Times, they didn't mention a word about your plan. Instead, they talk about Clinton not having a plan. They describe John Edwards' plan. They describe Senator Obama's plan. And Kucinich doesn't even get mentioned in the article.
Well, I can't account for the New York Times. We have to remember the New York Times still has to accept the responsibility for taking this country into a war against Iraq. And so, you know, they're still growing as a paper. My responsibility is to speak to the needs of the people. And it's very clear, with 50 million Americans underinsured, with 46 million Americans uninsured, this is an economic crisis that reaches deep into just about every family in this country. And so the plan that I have, which is embodied in H.R. 676, provides for Medicare for all. It is a single-payer system, and it ends the role of the for-profit insurers. which is a role that's driving people into poverty. Michael Moore is absolutely right. We have to end the role of the for-profit insurance companies. This is the singular reason why we do not have complete coverage for all Americans.
Mm-hmm. And I concur, Congressman. I believe that we need to confront the fact that our flirtation with a market system for delivering health care is a complete and utter failure. It doesn't restrain costs, it doesn't expand access, and it leaves many people without a fundamental right to health care in this country. And, you know, among those who got featured in the Times, Obama, Edwards, and Clinton, they do not take on the health insurance industry.
Well, here's what's interesting about that. What each of those candidates are talking about is the perpetuation of a system that's run by the insurance companies. They say that they want more people covered, but they want to do that by having the government provide more subsidies to the insurance companies. And, of course, what happens then is that more tax dollars go to insurance companies, their profits go up, there is no check on premium copays and premiums, copays, and other costs, and what you end up occasioning is a system that continues to leave people underinsured and uninsured. So, you know, and we're all friends, but Senators Clinton, Edwards, and Obama have stated at varying occasions that they just can't see how anybody can take on these private insurers and break the hold they have on our system and accomplish a national health care plan that serves all the people. So they've got this idea, well, they'll do the next best thing, which is to provide more subsidies to the insurance companies. I'm ready for the challenge. I'm ready to lead the way to making sure that every person in this country is covered and for all health care needs, including vision care, mental health, dental health, prescription drugs, long-term care. Peter, the money is there right now. We're already paying for this system. Mm-hmm. We're just not getting it because 31 cents on a dollar goes for profit, and we've got to end the for-profit system.
Congressman Dennis Kucinich with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And Senator Clinton, to be fair, has a history of trying to change the health care system in this country. She got singed very badly in 93 and 94 when she took it on. And to date, she really hasn't fleshed out her plan. She talks in generalities. And we know that she's accepted large chunks of campaign cash from the pharmaceutical and medical insurance industries.
Well, there's a misconception that Senator Clinton was proposing a Medicare for All plan back in the 90s. What she was talking about was increasing competition among the private insurers. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, as Michael Moore is, ending the role of for-profit insurers. I mean, and because of her prominence, Michael Moore in his movie records that I think he said she's the second highest recipient of campaign contributions from the insurance interest and the pharmaceutical companies. I think that it is imperative that the American people know that there is one candidate in this race who is ready to deliver on this, who's ready to rally the American people. And I'm asking everyone listening, if you really believe, as I do, that health care is a basic right and that we shouldn't sacrifice it to the for-profit insurance companies, then join with me. Go to Kucinich.us. Help us organize in California and across this country, because I believe this is a defining economic issue. And I think the American people know that if someone will not take their side instantly when they're running for office, they can't expect much afterwards. But on the other hand, I'm saying that I have not just the legislation and the plan, but I have a track record of challenging these very interest groups who would deny the American people the health care they need.
And Congressman Kucinich, talk about this a little bit. I'm very concerned about the compressed timeline of the early primaries next year. And I'd like you to underscore for my listeners how important it is for people not to sit out and wait until December or January, because really the groundwork is being laid now for the early primaries right up through February 5th, when a bunch of new states, including California, Florida, New York, Michigan, and Illinois, are going to hold primaries, and it may be sewn up right after that Super Duper Tuesday.
Well, I will tell you this. I had a meeting yesterday about the California primary. We have tremendous support in California, but organizing it early is imperative. So we're already working on a plan to organize California and to get people involved at our website, at Kucinich.us. And more than that, health care is one of the big issues in California, as you know. People were ready. They voted for a new plan. The governor scrapped it. People in California know that health care is, in some ways, the cost of health care is the thing that stands between them and being able to maintain their entire standard of living. And so this is something that relates so deeply to people's everyday experience, and I'm prepared, once again, to lead the way in California. And I know that because the California primary is so important, you know, health care is going to be one of the defining issues, as well as peace. And I've been the leader on that for a long time.
And, Congressman, I appreciate your leadership on health care and the detailed legislation that you've offered. Likewise, I appreciate H.R. 333, the bill of impeachment focused on Vice President Dick Cheney. And if you go to impeachcheney.org, they released a new powerful video that Robert Greenwald produced, and you can take a look at that. I hope you'll send it to 10 or 20 of your email list friends and try to get the word going. There are now 11 to 13 co-signers of 333. Do you think this is going to pick up steam, Congressman?
The grassroots are being heard from. It is picking up speed. And again, this is about the Constitution of the United States. We've just celebrated our Declaration of Independence and the values which bring us together as a nation are values that we must expect the people who hold the highest offices to uphold. And if their standards are so low that they're willing to ignore the Constitution, violate laws, and separate us from the rest of the world, then it is the requirement of every one of us to rise to the occasion and defend the liberties that we hold dear. And so that's what I'm doing. That's why I step forward to lead the way in saying that the Vice President must be held accountable. This is about protecting our Constitution and our democracy. Peter, I believe that we're actually fighting for the soul of America right now. And those of us who love this country have to be counted. And those who are running for president need to let the people know what their standards are, because if we lower the bar for the standards of conduct of those who hold the highest offices, what could we expect in the future? On the other hand, if you have someone who upholds the highest standards and says that we all have a right to expect our highest officials to aspire to those high standards, that's how we help protect our democracy.
Well, I appreciate your effort on that, and I feel with the Libby commutation, with the rejection of the subpoenas by the White House, that more and more people are becoming aware of this pattern of lawbreaking and abuse and positioning themselves above the law, and I'm hoping that we'll see real progress on impeachment shortly. Finally, Congressman, I want to ask you about H.R. 811, the Holt bill. I'm opposed to it because I'm afraid it's going to lock in the flawed systems that we know are out there now. You have recently removed yourself as a co-sponsor of 811. Am I correct?
I have. Rush Holt's a fine person, and I, you know, I really enjoy serving with him. But I have to say that the bill does not address, at this point, the concerns that Americans have to do something about electronic voting and to make sure that we protect ourselves from the kind of manipulation of an election that can occur with the insufficient controls on software and hardware in this era of electronic voting. That's why I've advocated paper ballots in all federal elections. That's the paper trail. That's that old-time religion in politics where at least you had a chance for a fair count.
Mm-hmm.
Every American deserves to know that his or her vote counts and is going to be counted. And you may remember that in the last election, and when it came to the Electoral College, I was one of the few members who challenged the election in the Electoral College, voted against certification of the election based on what happened in Ohio, as did, by the way, Senator Boxer. She was one of the leaders on that.
Indeed, yeah.
And so, you know, we have to stand up and be counted. I'm hopeful that Congressman Holt will modify his bill before he pushes for passage of it.
Congressman, thank you for your time today, and keep on pushing, will you?
Thank you very much, and again, if people would go to Kucinich.us, you can join this effort to save our country.
Indeed. Thank you, Congressman.
Thank you.
Dennis Kucinich on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll be right back.
wants to know a great hairstylist, and I want to share mine with you. Dallas and Ashley at Malibu by the Sea, 2024 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey. Malibu by the Sea is a full-service salon and bronzing spa. You can slip in for a tan and then have them create a stunning look for you. They perform cuts, color, multidimensional highlights, and the highest quality of human hair extensions. Dallas and Ashley, simply the best, making you look your best. Call them at 383-0807. That's 383-0807.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has 3 locations to serve you better wherever you live. All 3 locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests, and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future, and we're doing it 5 times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
President Bush says he listens to his military commanders. Well, Mr. President, I was one of those commanders, and you weren't listening when we warned you of the dangers we'd face invading Iraq. Now our military is overcommitted, and America is less secure. Mr. President, you're being told we need serious diplomacy, not escalation, and you're still not listening. If the President won't listen, Congress must.
Sean, I got 45 seconds, and John's on the line. Hey, John, give us your story real quick about health care issues.
When I was self-employed as a gardener way back in 85, I hadn't had any health insurance then until since 74, so I thought I'd try to get some through Blue Cross. They turned me down, and you had to din them to get any answer. They wouldn't give it to you outright,
sure.
which I got. It was on a technicality. I decided then I'd just chance it, and I've gone over 30 years without health insurance.
Ouch.
I'm not recommending that.
No, please.
Obviously,
don't.
But at the same time, I do think whatever form we get,
John, that's all I got time for. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show, only on KRXA 540. Down in Monterey.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective, here on KRXA 540.
So it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testified lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men or three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. You'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
How about health care for all? That's a value we can all embrace, right? And shouldn't it be a right in the wealthiest country in the world? 33 minutes after the hour, we continue our conversation about health care. We heard from Congressman Dennis Kucinich in the preceding segment, and Chris Hayes from The Nation is going to join us in just a moment. But first, I would like to issue an official Peter B. Collins apology, because due to the scheduling issues, and Congressman Kucinich joined us a few minutes late, we pushed our last break to the very edge of the window. And if you tuned in the middle, you probably thought we were having a marathon of commercials. And I apologize for that. We try to avoid it at all costs, but sometimes we just can't help it.
Excuse me.
And our buddy John from Carmel Valley was trying to tell his story in 42 seconds, and I had to cut him off. So, John, you're back. Now, you've gone 30 years without health insurance?
Yep. I went half my life. I'm almost 62. I'm not commending this, but it can be done. And if I had my way about health insurance, it would be especially to encourage people to be as healthy as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I remember Dean Adell saying one time, he said, I think he still says it, he says, don't go in for periodic cholesterol counts, because if you get one that shows you're right where you should be, you'll probably start eating wrong again. He says, just eat right and live right and go from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that philosophy has helped me. Another little bit of wisdom is, I think, from Helen Keller. I think she said, there is no security in this life. Security is a mirage we all chase after. Health insurance helps. It's better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it does pay for those things, but it doesn't of itself keep you healthy.
Right.
That
and,
you have to do.
And what Sicko shows is that you can be healthy, you can be a working person, you can have a big setback, a car accident or cancer or some other condition, and you wind up going bankrupt and losing everything. And again, these are people who had insurance when they got sick. And so it can be just catastrophic for somebody in your position, John, and I'm glad catastrophe, at least from your report, hasn't
struck.
Yeah,
now yet. I've got a really knock on wood.
Well, go get some insurance, will you? At least, a high deductible policy so you won't get wiped out in the event of a major illness?
No, I'm not going to. I'm going to continue to chance it, and that may kill me, but that's my choice. Part of this long thing is I've chosen. I don't like those companies, and if I said what I really thought about them, I think even your listeners might disown me. So,
all right, John,
I better get off the line while it's safe.
Okay.
Have a good afternoon.
Good luck to you. Well, do not imitate that at home, okay? That's like a driver on a closed track on one of those wacky car commercials. Chris Hayes joins us now. He writes for The Nation and other publications. You can visit his website, chrishayes.org, to find out more about him. He grew up in the Bronx, went to Brown, where I used to pay tuition up until just a couple of months ago. And he's now living in Chicago. Chris, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Do I have you, Chris? Oh, there's nobody on the line there. Hey, Brian, you want to dial back there and get Chris on for us? Thank you. He wrote a powerful review of Michael Moore's Sicko, which is in the July 16 issue of The Nation, and you should be able to find it at thenation.com. And he really captured my sentiments. He writes, Sicko, Michael Moore's excellent, frustrating new documentary about the American healthcare industry. Well, I agree it's excellent. It also frustrated me in a couple of ways, and that's what we'll talk with Chris about. Chris Hayes joins us now. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
Doing fine. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
I wanted to tell you that the opening line of your piece for The Nation about Sicko really resonates, or if we use Bush Mangold talk, it resonates with me, because you conjoin the adjectives excellent and frustrating right in front of new documentary. Explain what you mean about excellent and yet frustrating.
Well, I would say that I almost wanted to write two reviews of the movie because I loved the first three quarters or even three fifths. Four fifths of the movie, which I thought was Moore's best work. And then the last quarter, last sort of 20 minutes of the film or 50 minutes really frustrated me because I thought it was a big, sort of strategic mistake on his part.
Mm-hmm.
So, in some senses, I end up in the review that's in The Nation, I kind of end up sort of spending most of my time on what I really liked about the film, because
right.
it does make up the bulk of the film. But I thought the the decision he makes in the end of the movie, in which he, I'm sure your listeners have heard, if they haven't seen the movie, the press that surrounded his trip to Cuba with a bunch of ailing 9/11 rescue workers.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt that for a number of reasons, that section really just didn't sort of sit right with me.
Well, I agree. I feel that it was a weak ending for the film. And that it lacked the elements of previous films, and it's not like I expect him to do sequels and that, you know, everything has to be repeated.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at Roger and Me, you look at the Columbine film, you look at 9/11, he really, did interesting things to confront people in Fahrenheit 9/11. He stood on a corner in Washington and asked members of Congress if their kids are serving. He confronted Kmart over selling ammo for AK-47s.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the General Motors Tower to try to meet with Roger Smith. And there was an edge to what he was doing where, you know, you kind of sat there waiting for some sort of a confrontation to roll out.
Mm-hmm.
And this film didn't have those. I also felt that it suffered from, it's not like I expected him to go to PowerPoint and put a bunch of charts and numbers up on the screen. At the same time, I don't think he enumerated a clear solution. He identified the problems through the anecdotes that he delivered, and I think those are very powerful. And then he kind of went off on this bender of Canada, England, France, and ultimately Cuba as places where socialized medicine worked. And I don't think that he really came through with a convincing argument. I think he does open the minds of many people who haven't focused on health care issues in the past and helps them understand the nature of them and the problems of profit-taking in our medical delivery system.
Right. I mean, I think I disagree a little bit. I do think that he did a pretty good job. I mean, in the context and medium in which he was working, he did a pretty good job of offering an alternative solution. In fact, I would say in some senses the film does a better job, I thought, of sort of diagnosing the problem and suggesting a solution, a much better job of that than, say, the Columbine film, in which he sort of runs through the problem of gun violence and then tries to sort of figure out what is causing it and sort of ends up with this very kind of abstract sense of Americans' love affair with violence, our racialized history, etc. And at the end of the day you say, well, what's really the solution there? In the case of Sicko, what I did like was he said, look, there is a solution. It's single-payer health insurance. I mean, it's, call whatever you want, national health insurance, socialized medicine, Medicare for all, as a lot of people are calling it now.
Mm-hmm.
And that, Ronald Reagan has this line where he said, there are no easy answers, but there are simple answers. And, I think Moore was sort of taking a page out of his book there, which is to say that, single-payer health care might not be an easy answer in the sense of it's politically difficult because it means overcoming the health insurance companies, there will likely be a lot of resistance, but it is a simple answer insofar as I thought the analogy he made to the other kind of publicly provided goods that we've come to expect, for instance, firefighting as a public good,
mm-hmm.
police keeping as a public good, libraries, teachers, etc. The health just fits as a moral category and as a feature of the social contract, that health fits in that same category, and that this isn't some sort of crazy idea that, lots of other countries, in fact, most industrialized nations, see it in the same way.
Well, for example, Chris, one of the complaints that you hear from the right
mm-hmm.
is that in the socialized medicine countries like Canada and France and England, that there are long waiting lists and that people pay extremely high taxes. Well, he started to address the fiscal issues by profiling this French family and how well they're living on their combined incomes of, about $85,000
right,
a year.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't describe the tax burden that they pay in order to get the free health care, the free university education, and those other, would call emoluments in this country, and they would consider, part of their birthright in those countries.
Yeah, no, I mean, I that's true, although, again, I think you end up, and this is something that Moore runs into a lot, which is that his work sort of sits, in some senses, uncomfortably between different sets of sort of criteria for judging, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's making a film in which you have the amount of informational content you could put into a wide release feature film that people are going to sit and enjoy and be entertained by, and then the criteria, and understandably, because he has such an obvious political and in this case also policy aim, he's trying to make a persuasive point. the criteria by which we tend to evaluate it are the criteria that you would evaluate, say, a long sort of persuasive, a feature piece in The Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, I don't think it's unfair. I mean, look, he is putting that out there. In this case, though, I thought the French couple was sort of, I thought it was somewhat tongue-in-cheek because he was sort of celebrating all these sort of bourgeois virtues. They had collected sand from all these different beaches they'd gone to because they'd done some traveling.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that he was, again, this is a sort of it's argument through anecdote, essentially what it comes down to, right? So, like you said, I mean, a series of slides about marginal tax rates and their, the relationship they bear to top income earners, et cetera, I think would be a lot harder to watch than this sort of typical couple. At the same time, the couple was so contextless. You're sitting there saying, who are these people? Why are they in Michael Moore's film?
And why do they have a nanny who the government pays to come to their house and do the laundry?
Right.
So, I mean, I do appreciate what he's doing, and in my criticism, it's that, I'm passionate about changing the healthcare system. I believe that the for-profit approach has been a complete and utter failure. We had Congressman Kucinich on before you joined us, Chris, and he once again enumerated his plan, which I think is stunning in its simplicity and in its universal coverage. And that's what I really want to see. And it's not that I expected Michael Moore to turn this into a campaign piece, but I think he could have been a little bit more explicit about what the solutions are.
Yeah, although I think that, I think that's true, although I think that the movie's sort of chief goal, in my opinion, and I think the thing that it does in some sense is the best, is we're in this strange situation in which two things have happened around the healthcare debate simultaneously, and they're sort of at cross purposes. On the one hand, the recognition of a need for some form of universal health insurance has moved from kind of the margins to the mainstream of political discourse. And you see that in states like Massachusetts and California, in which Republican governors have signed universal health coverage,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
This has become a much more mainstream proposition. Everyone now wants, with 47 million uninsured, that's become the sort of factoid that floats around.
And just a quick clarification, Schwarzenegger has proposed it, but he hasn't signed anything yet. Yeah.
Exactly, right. Sorry. And so at the same time that's happening and the notion of universality has moved into the center, the notion of single payer seems more and more radical or less and less in the conversation. So I think there's been this interesting thing that's happened in which the insurance companies, I think, very sort of savvily have kind of seen the writing on the wall. And someone I talked to at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce put it this way for an article I did a few months ago. He said, if we're not on the table, we're going to be on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, if we're not at the table, we're going to be on the menu.
Yeah.
I think what's happened is basically all the insurance companies are now saying, universal coverage, and you see businesses starting to talk about that, but it's all going to be delivered through these same instruments, which Moore would argue, I would agree, I think that you would be sympathetic to, are the same instruments that are fundamentally flawed and broken. I think the point of the Moore film is to re-inject single payer back into the national conversation on healthcare reform. Because we're having a conversation on healthcare reform. There's a front page in the New York Times today talking about it being the big issue, the big domestic policy issue in the next election. It gets talked about a lot. At the same time it's getting talked about, at the same time there's consensus moving towards universality. Single payer as an option has sort of been kind of left by the wayside, and I think that Moore's goal here, and I think it's a good one, and will produce ultimately a better healthcare reform system, even if it isn't single payer, is to get single payer back in the national conversation.
Well, and Chris Hayes, you're right, and the New York Times story you referred to doesn't have one word about Dennis Kucinich and his comprehensive plan.
Exactly, that's a perfect example of what is considered sort of marginal and what isn't. And
Chris, I'm sorry, we need to take a break. We'll return in just a moment. Chris Hayes, who writes for The Nation, go to thenation.com and read his article about the movie Sicko. And if you want to share your personal review of Sicko, get on the line now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with crumbs stew. A side of couscous and a Baba Ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7. Every day, have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Tom Hartman.
Why would we hand the beating heart of democracy, the vote, over to a private corporation?
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And we're giving it to a corporation called Diebold, whose former president, Wally O'Dell, says, you know, I'm going to give Ohio to George W. Bush. We're giving it to a corporation like ES&S, who used to be run by Chuck Hagel, the Republican senator from Nebraska. I mean, it's our vote.
Tom Hartman, weekday evenings on KRXA 540.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about Michael Moore's new film, Sicko. And we're talking with Chris Hayes, who's written a review and an article, a commentary piece about it. You can read it at thenation.com or go ahead and spring for it, get a subscription, or buy the magazine at the newsstand. It's one of my favorites, and I really appreciate the work they do. Chris, I know you need to run in a couple of minutes, but I wanted to ask you just to expand on one comment that you wrote in your piece.
Mm-hmm.
Sicko is far, far less partisan than Fahrenheit 9/11, but much more ideological. I agree with that. Explain why.
You know, Fahrenheit 9/11 had this very sort of specific instrumental goal, which was to aid in the defeat of Bush in the 2004 election. And as such, it was clearly a sort of polemical film. And he kind of picked up whatever hatchet he could whack Bush with, no matter what kind of ideological category it fit into. And in some sense, Fahrenheit 9/11 is a very kind of self-contradictory film. At one point, he's criticizing us for going into Afghanistan. Another, he's criticizing us for not getting Al-Qaeda, but pulling our troops out of Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of at odds with itself, mostly because the goal was this very political partisan goal. Whereas Sicko isn't really a partisan film in any respect. It's not targeted at any one party or one candidate. It's about an alternate ideological conception of the fabric of social democracy and what should be included in the social contract in the U.S. and how we should sort of collectively go about caring for each other. And it's a much more ideological film in the sense that it's critiquing the current system and presenting an alternative from the perspective of an alternative way of ordering society. And it has a fairly comprehensive view of that doesn't just entail healthcare. It entails a lot of other things. And you sort of look at his interviews with the American expats in France, et cetera. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm going to let you go now because I know you need to move along, but I want to thank you for the article you wrote. I think it does express a lot of good sentiments about the film, and I hope people will go see it and decide for themselves.
Well, thanks a lot, Peter. I had a good time.
Okay, we'll talk again. Chris Hayes, who writes for The Nation, among other publications, and you can read his article at thenation.com. My phone lines are open, and I got about 5 minutes here, so if you've seen Sicko and you'd like to weigh in with your own mini-review, there's time for your call, so grab a line right now. Toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And here are a couple more quotes from Chris Hayes' article about Sicko. He said, Moore's solution is simple. Get rid of the health insurance companies. Don't just tinker with the health care system. Banish profit from the delivery of health care altogether. Socialize it. Make it a public good. It's a testament to the health insurance industry's power that as universal health care lurches toward the political middle, this proposal seems in some ways more radical than ever. Moore recognizes that if single payer is ever going to come to America, it's going to be over the insurance company's dead bodies. One way of understanding Sicko is as the opening salvo in a battle to make that happen. The movie alone can't do that, which is part of the reason Moore has teamed up with the California Nurses Association and other nurses and medical care lobby groups, unions, that sort of thing. It'll be sending its members, along with like-minded doctors, to every single showing of the film's opening night to talk up single payer to audiences. And it's currently rolling across the country in a multi-city tour to designed to leverage the film's publicity. And there were representatives of the California Nurses Association outside the theater where I attended Sicko. He goes on to say, but Sicko is more than a potent weapon in the battle for single payer, because in a deeper sense, the movie isn't really about health care. At its best, it uses healthcare as a kind of gateway drug to much harder stuff, a robust social democratic vision articulated eloquently by legendary British labor gadfly Tony Benn, who waxes poetic in the film about the radical promise of democracy to move power from the wallet to the ballot. It's the extension of the logic of democracy into provisioning of public goods that provides the philosophical justification for socialized medicine. The principle, as Ben says, is solidarity. And I do agree with Chris Hayes that Michael Moore tried to avoid, I think, some of the sharp edges and the obvious targets that he could have provided for the wealthy insurance and pharmaceutical industries in this country. And the way they decimated Hillary's health care plan before it even got into a final form, I think probably... it caused Michael Moore to reflect about what is the best way to get this message across. And so he chose to use these anecdotes and the comparison to Canada, France, Britain, and ultimately Cuba to kind of show the American people that even though we are the richest nation on earth and claim to have the most freedom, that our freedom is sharply limited by limited access to health care. And if health care were treated as a right in this country the way it is in other countries, then that could change dramatically. And what he's up against is the word socialism and that whole claim that is going to come from the conservative right in this country. And that includes some conservative Democrats. People like the Democratic Leadership Council are captive to the HMOs and the pharmaceutical industry, in my view. And I think that it will be a real struggle, and they'll pull out, I'm trying to remember, Alice and Ted or whoever it was in their commercial that decried the socialization of, 1/8 or 1/6 of the U.S. economy. And we need to find a way to combat that and to make clear that while you can call it socialism, and single-payer national health care would be a socialist program, I'm not afraid of that word. And we have to inoculate our democratic leaders not to be afraid of that word. Because this free market thing can go too far, and we have gone too far with the trade agreements, with the offshoring of manufacturing and other labor from this country. There's a lot of work to be done, and we need to make it clear that the healthcare industries are not putting our priority, our health, as the top, top agenda item. They're putting their profits first. The rest of us be damned.
every trick in the book, and that is only one way to get things done. You'll find out the only way to the top is looking out for number one.
We're going to take a break for the news and then return to talk about the Live Earth concerts underway this weekend across the globe, fighting climate change and trying to build awareness. Jerome Ringo of the Apollo Alliance will join us, and California Senator Barbara Boxer, too, coming up next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com. SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. Sober Stones.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The heat wave takes its toll.
It is so hot that people, you can't breathe.
Suspects in the British terror plot looked into coming here.
There was apparently this inquiry, which the FBI now confirms, from two of the suspects.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Across the west, from Arizona to the Canadian border, another day of searing heat. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes reports.
With a stubborn jet stream lodged further north than usual, blocking cool air from Canada, the massive U.S. heat wave has spread to northern border states, where they're used to temperatures that are brisk, not broiling. 107 degrees in Helena, Montana, 110 in Walla Walla, Washington, and a record 105 in Boise, Idaho, where today volunteers checked in on the very old.
Okay, Fern, here's your meal.
Okay.
You staying cool?
Yeah.
And the very young found no relief on scorching hot playgrounds.
If you go on the monkey bars, you just have to, like, go really quickly.
The ordeal in the West is almost over. The jet stream will push that hot air east over the weekend.
No matter where you live, a California produce distributor says it won't be long before this heat melts your credit card.
More likely we are going to see a price increase. And the immediate increase is going to be in the vegetables because they feel the heat right away. After that, the fruit.
Now this.
Hi, Dave. Sandy here. During the night, there's going to be a huge buildup of pressure that releases scalding hot water onto the production line. Then the plant's going to shut down for the rest of the day. So that's your tomorrow. Bye now.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So to help control your temperature, Grainger's added thousands of new versatile plumbing products to help you get through the day. We're adding products and removing problems, from tempering valves to pressure-reducing valves, whatever the job takes. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Grainger.com. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Can you guess which state Michelin Man is in? Having left Utah, he's on the aptly named Loneliest Road. He'll drive vast distances without anything in sight, including a gas pump. That's why he has Michelin Hydro-Edge tires. As the longest-lasting, most fuel-efficient tires in their category, they're just right for lonely roads and high gas prices. For more on Hydro-Edge tires and to see which state Michelin Man is in, visit michelinman.com/guesswhere.
Michelin, a better way forward.
Category defined as premium-priced S&T passenger products.
The FBI confirmed today that two of the Middle Eastern doctors suspected in the British car bombing plot once inquired about work in this country. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr has details.
Apparently, one of the doctors who's been arrested, Mohammed Asha, and another of his suspect colleagues, contacted a clearinghouse in Philadelphia. This is an agency that helps foreign doctors locate positions in this country. But according to the FBI, Asha and the other person involved never followed through on that preliminary contact, never went about the process of filling out applications, and never came here.
U.S. investigators say they found no evidence that the British plot extended to this country.
A federal appeals court panel in Cincinnati has tossed out a lawsuit by the American Civil Liberties Union challenging the Bush administration's domestic surveillance program. Melissa Goodman is an ACLU staff attorney.
The problem with that ruling is that it essentially leaves the Bush administration with the ability to violate an act of Congress that prohibits the executive branch from engaging in warrantless surveillance like the NSA has been engaging in.
Terrifying moments early today at the New York Casino in Las Vegas. Maria works there.
I'm seating people at their tables, and all of a sudden I hear, pop, 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 pop.
From a balcony, a man with a gun opened fire on the gamblers below. Four people suffered minor wounds before the gunman was tackled by off-duty military reservists. He's described by police as emotionally distraught. At the National Hurricane Center, a storm of controversy over the man who replaced director Max Mayfield 6 months ago. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports about half the staff has gone public saying he has to go.
What started out as an internal dispute has gone very public after months of criticism by Director Bill Proenza about resources available to the center. Senior forecaster James Franklin says 23 employees signed the letter demanding his replacement as a last resort.
We were quite prepared to work within the system and work it quietly and keep this out of the public arena. But Bill wanted it in the public arena, and that's where it is.
Franklin says in pushing hard for more resources, Proenza implied that the center couldn't do its job. That's wrong.
I don't think that our director has any credibility now on issues of science.
Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Proenza says he has no intention of resigning, but would comply if his bosses ask him to. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
I'm a jockey, and when I'm racing, I can't let my allergy medicine put me in a fog. So I only ride Claritin Clear. Claritin works hard to relieve my worst allergy symptoms. Sneezing, runny nose, for a full 24 hours. It works so well, only Claritin has proven to make me alert and focused. Not drowsy, like some other medicines can. When I get allergy relief and stay razor sharp, I'm ahead from start to finish. Stay alert, stay focused, live Claritin Clear.
Use it directed, only brand clinically tested.
Can you guess which state Michelin Man is in? Having left Utah, he's on the aptly named Loneliest Road. He'll drive vast distances without anything in sight, including a gas pump. That's why he has Michelin Hydro-Edge tires. As the longest-lasting, most fuel-efficient tires in their category, they're just right for lonely roads and high gas prices. For more on Hydro-Edge tires and to see which state Michelin Man is in, visit michelinman.com/guesswhere.
Michelin, a better way forward.
Category defined as premium-priced S&T passenger products.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Let's do it.
It's a busy day here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening. In the next few minutes, we expect to talk with Jerome Ringo. He's head of the Apollo Alliance, one of the players in the Live Earth concerts underway around the globe this weekend. And California Senator Barbara Boxer, a Democrat, is scheduled to join us at some point in the next 15 minutes or so. Later this hour, Professor Marjorie Cohn will talk with us about the Scooter Libby commutation, the prospects of impeachment, and a recently announced court ruling knocking out a suit against the NSA, the National Security Administration, over their illegal surveillance of Americans in violation of the FISA law. And there's room for your phone calls this hour, too, if you want to talk about climate change and the way Al Gore has approached this issue and the stupendous lineup of concerts going on around the globe this weekend. Feel free to call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372.
Well, there's a little something that's been freaking me. I read it in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning. A spooky little thing called global warming. It seems our indispensable amenities, like hairspray, air conditioners, and SUVs, are causing big emissions, all of which are forming a spooky little thing called global warming.
Artists from all over the world, and I don't see Dr. Elmo among them, unfortunately, are convening in Australia, Brazil, China, Germany, South Africa, Japan, in Britain, and in the United States starting Saturday, and it will continue for many hours. until everybody gets to perform. Jerome Ringo joins us now, and apparently he's a little surprised that we called him. Hello, Jerome.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. In the confusion and the mayhem around the big events over the weekend, we were told that we could have an interview with you, and so we called you, and apparently they forgot to tell you about it.
Well, they may have. I've just arrived in New York for the big concert, and I'm in Manhattan as we speak, so the atmosphere is electric, and people are excited about this this whole concert and pushing the message on global warming.
Well, it's going to be quite an event, and my screen just crashed as I was looking at the lineup at Giant Stadium. That's where you'll be at East Rutherford, New Jersey?
That's where I'll be tomorrow with Al Gore and all of the members of the Climate Alliance that have been working with the Vice President over the last several years to promote global warming.
Mm-hmm. And I know the police are on the lineup, and AFI, and the Dave Matthews Band, and my screen will come back here in a minute, and I'll have the full list. Who are you looking forward to seeing perform live there?
Well, actually, Bon Jovi is going to be exciting to see, as well as Alicia Keys. It's just a broad range of entertainment, and it's just really exciting for people of all ages. But it's more exciting that we're just going to take the level of awareness on global warming and a call for action for the entire world on this such critical issue.
Indeed. Let's see. Keith Urban, Ludacris, the Foo Fighters over in Britain. Also in the United States, Smashing Pumpkins, Roger Waters of Deep Purple, not Deep Purple, Pink Floyd fame, Melissa Etheridge, and I got to see the Police on part of their reunion tour this year earlier in the summer, and I know they're going to make a lot of people happy too. Now, in addition to this incredible music lineup at these venues all around the world, Jerome Ringo, there are other events going on. Move On is helping organize house parties, and there are thousands of events all over the world. Now, at the Apollo Alliance, you have forged a consortium, a collaboration of business, of labor, of non-governmental organizations, all focused on the next generation, focusing on trying to battle the issues that contribute to climate change, the carbon that we emit, and also trying to create a win-win scenario by developing new technology and, importantly, new jobs for Americans to take on these challenges.
That is correct. And the Apollo Alliance believes that it is a win-win for America. We now can promote the independence from foreign oil and get off of the oil barrel that we're being held over by foreign governments. At the same time, to declare that independence, we're going to encourage the promotion of research and development of alternative energies that are going to create a new green economy, create green jobs, and put unemployed back to work again, put the farmers back to work again, all in the name of clean energy, at the same time reducing carbon dioxide to the atmosphere and cleaning up our environment.
And at what stage, I mean, how long have you been working on the Apollo Alliance, Jerome Ringo, and at what stage of, say, the birth-to-growth cycle, what stage do you think you're at right now?
Well, I've been with the Apollo Alliance as its president for 2 years, but the Alliance is 5 years old. But I think the whole idea of addressing alternative energy has sort of catapulted because of the sense of urgency. We've seen movement by members of Congress, by the National Council of Mayors, that's really unprecedented. We've seen movement now by these organizations and groups elected officials that are directing us toward new clean energy practices within our cities with respect to retrofitting buildings, promoting hybrid cars, and the movement is really exciting. But it's because of the sense of urgency. We've seen the meltdown of Kilimanjaro's ice cap. We've seen the permafrost melting in Alaska. And, of course, we've seen the events of 2005 of Hurricane Katrina, Rita, and Wilma, of which I was an evacuee of both Hurricane Katrina and Wilma. I live in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Well, and many Americans have moved on from the carnage in the Gulf Coast, but there are many of us who know that we didn't finish the job. Some blank checks were written, but a lot of that money has not reached the people who need it the most. And it appears the Bush administration just has checked out and no longer considers the Gulf Coast to be a priority.
You are absolutely correct. As I was a part of the negotiations of the new Kyoto Treaty in Montreal, I spoke to the public and stated that as the people in Louisiana were suffering from Category 5 storms, President Bush was suffering from Category 5 denial with respect to global warming and these issues. So it's time for the administration to really wake up and not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. I was at the G8 conference and heard the president of our country saying that the United States is going to think about it, and he considered that to be a big step. Well, that's not a big step with this major sense of urgency that we are facing. We need some real concrete action. We need some real guarantees on CO2 reduction as quickly as we can. We need to move forward on this.
Well, and as individuals, there are things that we can do, Jerome Ringo, even before our government and our elected leaders take action. And give us a couple of ideas. I mean, most people know about the new fluorescent type light bulbs that screw into a socket and reduce electrical use and the heat emitted by those bulbs by a dramatic degree. Everybody knows about hybrid cars, and many of us have bought them. But what are some of the other things that as individuals we can do to try to reduce our own carbon footprints?
Well, one of the most important things that we can do is outside of our homes, and that is to go to the voting box and hold elected officials accountable that do support clean energy, and the ones are those that do support clean energy, but hold those accountable, those that don't. We've got to make sure that we have policymakers in place that are going to think green. We've got to do everything that we can to put a green president in the White House that is going to bring us back to the table on Kyoto. But then, in addition to, as you mentioned, there are things that we can do individually. The Apollo Alliance has a 10-point plan for energy independence that maps out some of the individual things that we can work on: changing light bulbs. We can work on consumption issues and efficiency issues and try to be more efficient with respect to our energy use. And those things collectively can solve the problem, and eventually we can start chipping away on CO2 to the atmosphere.
Yeah. And Jerome Ringo, you talked about the ballot box. Have you had any conversations that you're willing to share with us with Vice President Gore? Most recently on the Today Show this week, he said that he's kind of done with politics and doesn't imagine that he'll ever campaign again. And I'm not just being nostalgic. I think there are a lot of people who feel that he deserves another shot, and that given the work he's done since 2000, that he really would bring a whole new agenda, including a major frontal assault on climate change, if he were elected president.
Well, I agree 100%, but I'm sure they're going to respect the position and the choice of the vice president. But my fingers are crossed as well as many in America that the vice president will make a decision to run. If he does not, we surely respect that. But we must recognize that he is a champion for global warming, and what he has done for the earth with respect to global warming is surely unprecedented. And the world is a better place because of Al Gore.
Yeah. Well, Jerome Ringo, I want to thank you for joining us here without notice today. I hope you enjoy the concert there at Giant Stadium, and keep up the work you're doing on the Apollo Alliance, will you please?
Thank you very much.
All right, great. Thank you, Jerome.
Bye-bye.
Jerome Ringo, president of the Apollo Alliance. And if I have it correctly, this is Senator Barbara Boxer on the line.
You have it correctly.
It's Peter B. Collins, Senator. How are you today?
Hi, Peter. I'm very well, thank you.
Well, thanks for calling into the show. I know you're very busy trying to raise awareness about the Live Earth events this weekend. First of all, I want to thank you for the work that you're doing on many fronts. For my listeners, you are a key senator when it comes to the issues of the war, confronting the wrongdoing of the Bush administration, and we really thank you for the voice that you bring to Washington.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks to the listeners, because really that's what makes it all work, when they're out there and they express themselves. It's very helpful.
Now, let's talk about the key issues that Live Earth is focusing on. What is your hope, Senator, that these concerts on virtually every continent will do to help raise awareness and to lead people to action?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, it's a happening, it's an amazing thing when you have concerts all over the world. They feel it's going to reach 2 billion people. And we know people are attracted to music. Music is that international language, but they'll also hear the message. And the message is a pretty simple one. Earth is in trouble. We need to do something to help. We can do that by cutting back on the carbon that we emit as a society, as individuals. We can take small steps. The government has to take large steps, but we have a window that's closing on us, and if we don't act soon, it's going to be very bad for our grandchildren. And this is our generation's challenge. Like it or not, we need to step up to the plate.
There's a new committee in the House focused on the environment, and you've taken over the gavel, and Senator Inhofe was late to learn about that, of the Senate Environment Committee. What should we be expecting in the near term from Washington in terms of new leadership on reducing our carbon emissions?
First of all, we've seen the leadership. I mean, in our side, on the Senate side, we've had about 14 hearings on global warming. I think under Inhofe we had two, and they were aimed at telling people there wasn't a crisis. So that is a huge difference. But we've also seen it in the House with the new committee headed by Congressman Markey that Nancy Pelosi set up, and they're doing the same. But I think people have missed the fact that we've already passed some very good legislation in the Senate just a couple of weeks ago. A lot of it included some of my work and other people's work to make the government a real model of energy efficiency by saying all our new buildings must be green and we must retrofit the old buildings in terms of energy efficiency, particularly lighting. You know, a lot of people don't know that if you look at the United States, about 39 to 40% of the problem comes from buildings. So we need to really straighten that up. And of course, another 30% comes from cars, and in this bill that passed, we said that the 60,000 cars per year that the federal government buys now have to be energy efficient, and we finally stepped up to the plate on fuel economy, not far enough, I'm sure, for your liking or mine, but in, you know, 10 miles in 10 years, and this is good. So, you know, we're moving.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving, but the real important legislation is the economy-wide legislation that has to come, which will set targets and goals that are enforceable so that we can unleash the technological genius of this country, and the investments will be made in these technologies to move us to our goals, which got to be in the 80-90% cut range from 1990 levels.
Well, and Senator, I'm offering you free advice here that you've probably heard from others, but I think that it needs to be coupled with the message that we just heard from Jerome Ringo of the Apollo Alliance. People need to understand that, yes, there's a crisis and there are serious challenges confronting us, but that there's a very positive scenario that we can pursue to help create new technology and new jobs in this country to take on these issues.
Oh, absolutely. And we've had many hearings that showing the fact that we could have an entirely new green economy that is going to burst at the seams with new American jobs. You know, just one of the approaches we have, which was really Bernie Sanders' ideas on my committee, which is just to say we need to put so many solar roofs on. These are not jobs that can be contracted out. These are good jobs and well-paid jobs. And then we're going to see these new inventions, like the Tesla motor car that is being was invented right here in California,
mm-hmm.
and it's the fastest car ever made, and it's going to go. Now, this one is too expensive, but the next iteration will be $50,000, and the next one will be $35,000. So this is all happening, but it's not going to happen unless we have these enforceable targets, because the investment that needs to be made in these technologies in our system are just not going to happen. So absolutely, I approach this with hope, not fear. I'm excited about it. It is a serious problem, but it has many rewards. When you attack the issue of global warming, you will create clean, good-paying jobs, and you'll also have a much cleaner environment because along with all of this carbon, you've got other terrible pollution that you're going to cut back on as well.
Well, Senator Boxer, thanks for your time. I know it's limited today.
Thank
it's
you.
Great to talk with you. We'll do it again. Keep up the fight to cut off funding for the war, and
yes.
let's support full accountability of Bush, Cheney, and Gonzalez.
I'm with you. Keep it up, Peter. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Barbara Boxer, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, and expensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for a great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-488 for carry out to die for.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955. Or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
All right, Friday afternoon traffic. Taking a look at the very latest. Happy Friday, everybody. Taking a look at, how about Hollister? Just a reminder, 25th Street between 4th and South Street, shut down today through from 11 p.m. till Sunday, July 8th, for the Hollister Motorcycle Rally. It's a three-day event expected to draw at least 100,000 visitors. We have a detour in place. Expect significant delays entering and leaving downtown Hollister. Santa Clara County, 152 eastbound between Bloomfield and 156. Slow traffic being reported there. Also, Watsonville, San Andreas Road at Buena Vista. We have a grass fire. Now, this is burning near the roadway. Fire department units on the way to the scene. The support brought to you by Staples. That was easy. Starting Sunday, don't miss the incredible 1 cent school specials at Staples. Get 8 Dixon pencils, 2 pocket folders, and more for just a penny each starting Sunday. Staples, that was easy. Limits apply while supplies last.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. I want to thank Senator Boxer for taking time out to call into the program today. And if you want full information on the Global Concerts for Climate Change, liveearth.msn.com can give you the rundown. And various television networks from NBC in primetime on Saturday to the Sundance Channel and others will be carrying live and delayed coverage of the concerts all around the world. It's going to be a stupendous set of events, and I hope you'll participate in some way. And I hope the message comes through loud and clear, too, that you and I can do things to reduce our carbon outputs and set an example for other people around the world and the recalcitrant leaders in Washington, starting with Bush and Cheney and including that Senator Inhofe from Oklahoma. We're going to take a break and return with Professor Marjorie Cohn on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Can you drive a car 70 miles an hour, talk on your cell phone, eat a donut, send a text message, and operate your GPS all at the same time? In a dozen states, there are bills being considered in state legislatures trying to ban drivers from using video games and computers and fax machines and the like while behind the wheel. While you are operating a motor vehicle is not a good time to test how much multitasking is in you.
Certainly, as electronic gadgets become more ubiquitous in our cars, we're going to probably see these kinds of activities continue.
More on this from John Ulcheski of the National Safety Council after this.
Is your credit score holding you back? Are you paying more for everything just because you don't have perfect credit? Well, it's not your fault. Credit card companies are doing everything they can to keep you in debt and never let you escape. But I've got a system that can fix your credit score once and for all. And I'm going to send you a free tape showing you the power of my proven system today.
My credit score is now 758. My wife and I are shouting for joy right now.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't just fix your credit score, it will permanently rebuild your credit status so it can never come back to haunt you again. It works no matter how bad your credit is or how much debt you have.
Our credit score was in the low 600s and now we're at 780.
You can wipe the slate clean once and for all. Call right now and I'll rush you my free tape. For your free tape, call 1-800-401-7899. That's 1-800-401-7899. 1-800-401-7899.
The proliferation of electronic gadgets in use on the road by motorists is dangerous. National Safety Council says you shouldn't use them and drive at the same time.
Anything that takes your eyes, your hands, or your brain, or in this case, two of the three, off of your driving is not a good thing.
Can't you drive while you listen to somebody sing?
Listening to the radio or listening to music is not necessarily nearly as distracting as engaging in a cell phone conversation or by doing something in terms of a computer or fax machine.
Some bizarre combinations at the wheel have been seen. Texting while driving is risky and rash, says John Ulcheski.
That's just asking for a crash.
It's deadly serious business, he says, and a complicated one, too, for the authorities to deal with. But we're going to have to.
I think as the technology increases, we're going to continue to study and look at this issue and figure out effective remedies to stop this kind of behavior. It's really a complicated issue in terms of what exactly is going to be the right solution.
But he says here's the ideal for which we should be striving.
Keep your hands on the wheel, keep your eyes focused on what you're doing, and keep your concentration totally on your driving.
The Osgood File. For transcripts, MP3s, and podcasts, go to theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. Come around, up to no good. Broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood. Got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
Yeah, but which morning, yikes? I've been waiting morning after morning. I'm Peter B. Collins, and that's called Bad President. We certainly have a bad president, a bad vice president, too. And it's been quite a week. We turn to constitutional law professor Marjorie Cohn. She teaches at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego. She is also the national president of the National Lawyers Guild, and she's got a powerful new book coming out called Cowboy Republic, Six Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law. And I understand it's just recently been published, Marjorie, is that right?
Yes, but it will be in all the bookstores by July 17th.
Okay, great. And I understand that we have a copy on the way, and as soon as I get it and read it, I'd love to have you back and spend an hour talking about it.
That sounds great.
You wrote a piece that you emailed to me about the opportunistic commuter-in-chief. He was the decider, the enforcer, and now you have a new nickname for Bush. What do you make of the commutation of Scooter Libby's sentence? Is this simply sealing the cover-up once and for all?
I think that's what they're trying to do. I mean, many people said, well, why didn't Bush just pardon Libby, which would just wipe his record clean, he wouldn't have the fine, or any of those other things that Bush said he was worried about, how Libby was suffering. And the reason he didn't pardon Libby is because Libby then would not be able to take the fifth in any future criminal or congressional proceeding. And he would be susceptible to having to answer depositions in the civil lawsuit filed by Joseph Wilson and Valerie Plame after the Bush and Cheney smear campaign to discredit them because Wilson had publicly debunked the centerpiece mm-hmm. of the Bush administration's lies about getting uranium from Africa.
Right.
And that, of course, led to the war.
Now, explain that a little bit for those of us not familiar with the law. Why does the commutation operate differently from a pardon as it relates to his requirement to testify, particularly in depositions for the civil suit that the Wilsons are bringing?
Well, if he were pardoned, then he would be able to incur no more criminal liability about this particular whole incident. But since he still has criminal charges against him, he has to pay the fine. He may or may not be on probation. They don't know yet, what the law is on that, because most people don't get their sentences commuted. Most people don't get them commuted, period. But when they are commuted, it's after they've served a substantial amount of time. This is very unusual.
Even the judge seems confused by it.
That's right. That's right. And so if Libby were pardoned and he were called to testify in any kind of a proceeding, in a congressional hearing like John Conyers is going to hold next week on the use and misuse of presidential clemency power, or in a criminal case against him, they could bring other charges, or different charges, or against him or anybody else, or in a civil suit. So he would not be able to say, anything I say might incriminate me, because he's already been pardoned of this whole thing. But now that charges are still pending, what this does is it preserves his appeal rights. In other words, his appeal is pending, his appeal of his conviction and his sentence. It's pending now. And so as long as his appeal's pending, then his Fifth Amendment rights are still pending. And so he cannot answer any questions that would incriminate Bush or Cheney. This is the whole reason they did it. It's part of the cover-up.
Fascinating. And it helps explain, because when I first heard about the commutation, I said, well, you know, why not go all the way to full pardon, because it would be more beneficial to the criminal here, in this case, Scooter Libby. And, you know, Bush could take his lumps, his political payback, all at one time and get that over with.
Yeah, exactly. There's no other reason for that. But he's trying to basically look like, well, he's keeping these stiff consequences, this sentence. And, you know, when he issued the commutation, he issued a statement saying he's really concerned about all the ways that Libby has suffered, and he's going to continue to suffer damage to his reputation, the suffering of his wife and children, large fines, and then Bush said the long-lasting consequences of being a convicted felon. Well, evidently, Libby's the only defendant that he's really concerned about, because he didn't pardon 56 people who were executed when he was governor of Texas. It didn't show any compassion at all for Terry Washington, who was mentally retarded, and the jury was never told that Washington was mentally retarded, you know, and he was executed for killing a restaurant manager. And then Bush's own Justice Department actually argued to affirm a 33-month sentence, very much like Scooter Libby's, a couple of weeks ago. It was a case of Victor Rita, who was a decorated war hero, charged with the same crimes as Scooter Libby. But, you know, of course, he doesn't have anything on the president.
And am I correct that the Rita sentence was appealed all the way to the Supreme Court,
yes,
and they ruled that it was a valid and a fair sentence?
Yes, they did. They did.
The Bush Supreme Court.
Bush Supreme Court, exactly. And it is the Bush Supreme Court. He has really, I think that's the one thing that Bush has succeeded in, if you want to talk about success, and that is he has succeeded in remaking the Supreme Court into a right-wing arm of the Bush agenda.
Now, Marjorie Cohn, help me out with one other legal issue. In the Constitution, the part that talks about impeachment, it essentially says that it's an unabridged right of the president to, about pardons and commutation, that's an unabridged right of the president, cannot be appealed or overruled, except in cases of impeachment, it reads. So if Bush were impeached in the remaining portion of his term, could it then be dialed back to the Libby case, and could the commutation be canceled?
Evidently, that's what the Constitution says.
There's no precedent for that.
Not that I can think of.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. But, I mean, it's interesting because James Madison, one of the founding fathers, said, these are the words of James Madison, if the president be connected in any suspicious manner with any person and there be grounds to believe he will shelter him, the House of Representatives can impeach him, and they can remove him if found guilty. Well, so, you know, remember Conyers and Pelosi took impeachment off the table, but Conyers is upset enough to call this hearing, and Nancy Pelosi said that Bush basically failed to uphold the rule of law and failed to hold his administration accountable. Seems to me it's time for them to put impeachment back on the table.
Amen. It's on my table and never left. Marjorie Cohn, I know you're busy and need to run, but let me ask you if you have a reaction to a court ruling announced here on Friday. An appeals court, the Sixth Circuit in Cincinnati, ruled 2-1, vacating the 2006 order by Anna Diggs Taylor at the federal court in Detroit related to the lawsuit by the American Civil Liberties Union against the National Security Agency. And it's interesting to me that these justices on the appeals court ruled that the ACLU didn't have standing because all of the information is still secret, and they cannot prove that any of the named defendants has actually been harmed by the illegal spying that violates the FISA law. Yet two of the three judges explicitly stated that they agree with Judge Anna Diggs Taylor, not only that the president doesn't have the power to violate the FISA law and conduct this domestic surveillance, but that they believe that, you know, there is a significant body of evidence that the president has broken the law.
Yes. Since it was a split decision of a panel of the Court of Appeals, I'm sure that the plaintiffs will be appealing to the entire court. That's called en banc.
Mm-hmm.
And if they lose there, then they have 90 days to file a petition for certiorari in the Supreme Court. Now, keep in mind that a judge in San Francisco, Vaughn Walker, has rejected this state secrets defense in a very similar case.
Yes, he has.
So I suspect that if it does get to the Supreme Court, they will certainly hear it, because it looks like the circuits may be divided, although we don't know what the First Circuit, Ninth Circuit, in San Francisco would do. But, of course, I think that they're absolutely wrong. I mean, Bush has basically admitted that he's doing this warrantless spying, so they're really, and this is what Vaughn Walker and Anna Dix Taylor had said, there's no state secrets to be revealed.
Yeah. Well, it's a setback on what appears to be a technicality, but there is an issue there that, for example, James Bamford, a writer who we know, claims that he may have had his calls monitored or transcribed, but he doesn't know. And so we're dealing in this murky area, and I believe the government should be compelled, even if it's in camera, in a secret session in court, to provide that information. And if they can prove that Jim Bamford and the other named defendants have never been spied upon, then I could accept dismissal.
Right, and the other ground you said that it was dismissed on was that the plaintiffs couldn't show any harm. It's speculative. You know, Bamford doesn't know for sure because it's secret. It's kind of a catch-22. But lawyers in these cases, and they are pending in different parts of the country, have argued that their First Amendment rights to meet with their clients and their Sixth Amendment rights to meet with their clients, say if they have clients in Iraq or Afghanistan, is being chilled because they don't know if their conversations are going to be overheard. And journalists who are trying to do their job and uphold the First Amendment and cover these particular issues, and if they travel, their conversations are overheard or monitored, or even if they don't travel, and so they really are suffering harm. Their First and Sixth Amendment rights have been chilled. So this is not just speculative harm.
I agree. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for your time today, Marjorie Cohn, and we'll talk again very soon when I get your new book.
My pleasure, Peter. Take care.
All right. That's Professor Marjorie Cohn from the Thomas Jefferson School of Law. She also serves as national president of the National Lawyers Guild. And look for her new book from Polypoint Press called Cowboy Republic, 6 Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law. And I'm looking forward to reading that. She's a real champion of our civil liberties, Marjorie Cohn is. And I'm pleased to know her and have her contribute to our program. So we've got some time for phone calls between now and the top of the hour. If you'd like to join me, call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You may want to comment on the film Sicko. A couple of people called who we didn't get to. If you want to call back and share your comments, happy to hear from you. And maybe you want to comment on our conversation with Jerome Ringo and Senator Barbara Boxer earlier this hour. You're also welcome to talk about the Scooter Libby commutation and the prospect for impeachment. Before we take a break here, I want to play part of a powerful new video that was released at the end of the week by Robert Greenwald and Brave New Films. If you go to the website impeachcheney.org, do you know how to spell Cheney? He actually pronounces it Cheney, C-H-E-N-E-Y. Impeach Cheney or Cheney, however you want to say it, .org. And there's a 3-minute video. I'm going to play it for you right now. And I'll describe some of the parts that are text on the screen as they go by.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That's Dick Cheney taking the oath of office.
Discharge the duties of the office on which I'm about to enter, so help me God.
They're showing pictures of the war in Iraq, and here comes a picture of Cheney. It says, Impeach Cheney, Article 1. Cheney has purposely manipulated the intelligence process by fabricating a threat of Iraqi weapons of mass destruction.
He has aggressively sought to acquire chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons.
Death
on a massive scale.
He is using his procurement system to acquire the equipment he needs in order to enrich uranium to build a nuclear weapon.
Continuing chemical and biological weapons research.
That he is, in fact, actively and aggressively seeking to acquire nuclear weapons.
Simply stated, there is no doubt that Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction. There is no doubt that he is amassing them to use against our friends, against our allies, and against us.
Vice President Richard B. Cheney, in violation of his constitutional duty, has purposely manipulated the intelligence process to deceive the citizens and the Congress of the United States.
Now, Article 2. Impeach Cheney. Cheney has purposely manipulated the intelligence process by fabricating relationships between Iraq and Al-Qaeda.
There clearly was a relationship in Iraq on the one hand and the Al-Qaeda organization on the other.
It's been testified to. The evidence is overwhelming.
That there have been a number of contacts over the years. We've seen in connection with the hijackers, of course, Mohammed Atta.
It's high-level contacts between Osama bin Laden and Iraqi intelligence officials.
Vice President Richard B. Cheney, in violation of his constitutional duty, has purposely manipulated the intelligence process to deceive the citizens and the Congress of the United States.
Impeach Cheney, Article 3. Cheney has openly threatened aggression against the Republic of Iran, undermining the national security of the United States.
We'll stand with others to prevent Iran from gaining nuclear weapons and dominating this region.
Iran, astride the world supply of oil, prepared to use terrorist organizations for their nuclear weapons to threaten their neighbors, it's important that that not happen.
Is there realistically a military solution?
We haven't taken any options off the table.
We'll stand with others to prevent Iran from gaining nuclear weapons and dominating this region.
Vice President Richard B. Cheney, in violation of his constitutional duty, has openly threatened aggression against the Republic of Iran, undermining the national security of the United States.
That's this powerful new mini-documentary, 3.5 minutes long. You can find it at impeachcheney.org. And earlier today, we talked to the author of House Resolution 333, Dennis Kucinich, presidential candidate, congressman from Ohio. I'm really pleased that he entered the bill of impeachment, and he has more co-signers today than he did a week ago. You need to keep the pressure on. Go to impeachcheney.org and send that email around to your friends. Let them see the video, too. We'll take a break and return. You want to call? I want to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Hi, Sheila Gale here with 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Addiction and Recovery Talk, Saturdays 4 to 5, now expanding to Wednesday evenings 7 to 8. Taking shame and blame out of addiction, we take responsibility and treat it as the disease that it is. Great guests and great call-ins. Addictions, 12-Step Talk, it's about time. Now twice a week, Wednesday evenings 7 to 8 and Saturdays 4 to 5. Brought to you by Sun Street Centers, building healthy lives in Monterey County. Sun Street for recovery and prevention.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Bye.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
All right, everybody, let's get to traffic and talk about the very latest. Quick advisory, we've got our big event going on starting now in Hollister. And, of course, you can Highway 25 or 25 between 4th and South Street shut down from now until Sunday, July 8th for the big Hollister Motorcycle Rally. Three-day event will draw about 100,000 people. We have a detour in place. Expect significant delays traveling to the Hollister area. Meanwhile, Live Oaks, Soquel at 17th, two-vehicle crash, left lane blocked in both directions there. And looking at, Carmel Valley, it's West Carmel Road at Miramonte. Two vehicles involved in a crash. Emergency crews have temporarily shut down the entire roadway at this point. Starting Sunday, don't miss the incredible 1 cent school special at Staples. Get 8 Dixon pencils, 2 pocket folders, and more for just a penny each. That's Staples.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Two ways to reach me. You can call in if you're listening live. The toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And if you're listening on the weekend or late night or some other time, you can drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections. Run the country into the ground.
Yeah, that last line, we just steal elections and run the country into the ground. Well, coming up just 10 minutes from now, Brad Friedman will join us from bradblog.com, his weekly appearance on the PBC show. And we have been trying to get a hold of Congressman Rush Holt, with whom Brad and I disagree on his legislation, H.R. 811. We heard Congressman Kucinich earlier today say that he no longer supports it unless some work is done. And what you're going to hear is some excerpts from an interesting recent interview with Congressman Holt, who I have called and invited on the program, invited to talk to me privately, and so far he hasn't found the time to do so. But he did do a recent radio interview in which he offered his views about why he thinks H.R. 811 is the right bill at this time. And he specifically addresses the objections of Brad Friedman. It's very interesting, and we'll share that with you in the upcoming hour. There's some other interesting reports out regarding elections and America's elections that we'll talk about with Brad in the coming hour. So that's ahead next hour here on the PBC show. Meanwhile, if you want to comment about Cheney, about the Scooter Libby commutation, about the climate change issues and the big live Earth events around the world this weekend, or you want to talk about our chat with Dennis Kucinich in the opening moments of the program today, that's all up for grabs. And if you're going to do it, you better call right now, because we just have a couple of minutes before the top of the hour break. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. I want to take a minute here to run down for you the incredible array of artists who will be performing. And get out your cable or your satellite TV and tune around, because different networks will be offering different coverage, some of it live, some of it edited and packaged. And, for example, in Australia, Crowded House will be playing, the John Butler Trio, Paul Kelly, Wolf Mother, not familiar with them. In Brazil, Jorge Ben-Hor, Hota Quest, Lenny Kravitz, Macy Gray, that's going to be great. O Rapa, Farrell with a PH, Vanessa DeMata, and Zuza, XUXA. In China, Eason Chan, Sarah Brightman, and a lot of acts that I'm not familiar with. 12 Girls Band is one of them. In Germany on the stage, Chris Cornell, Enrique Iglesias, Katie Melua. Let's see who else we might recognize here. Revolverhead, Shakira. Oh, Shakira is performing in Germany. She's hot. I like her a lot. Snoop Dogg also in Germany. In Japan, it will be Bonnie Pink, Coco, Genki Rockets, Kumi Koda, Linkin Park. Now, that's a name I recognize. Yellow Magic Orchestra and a few others. In South Africa, the lineup includes Baba Mal, Danny Kaye, Joss Stone. I saw Joss on that tribute to Princess Diana. She was singing with Tom Jones, and she is, she's got quite a voice. UB40 also on the stage in South Africa. In England, the Beastie Boys, Black Eyed Peas. That's a great lineup. Duran Duran from Dinosaur Museum. Foo Fighters, Genesis, John Legend, Keane, Madonna, Metallica, Pussycat Dolls, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Spinal Tap. Really, they're getting the Tap Boys out? That's pretty exciting stuff. And the lineup is just so impressive. I think we mentioned that in the United States, it's going to be AFI, Akon, Alicia Keys, Bon Jovi, Dave Matthews Band, John Mayer, Katie Tunstall, Kanye West, Keith Urban, Kelly Clarkson, Ludacris, and many others. So it's going to be quite a series of concerts all over the world. And I hope that you will participate in one form or another, even if it's just as a couch potato.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Maybe it's cool where you are, but before long we'll all feel the effects of the western heat wave as crops wither in the broiling sun. That's almost certain to mean higher prices for fruit and vegetables. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman is on the heat beat.
People are trying to stay cool, but not finding much success. All over the West, there are triple-digit temperatures. In Palm Springs, Las Vegas, Phoenix. In Boise, Idaho, it's 102. Swimming's a popular choice there today. Officials here in California are asking people, especially seniors, to take advantage of cooling centers and other places where there is air conditioning.
Libraries, senior centers, grocery stores are cool areas. Shopping centers are good places for them to go.
And the top temperature today in the U.S. could be Death Valley, 127. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
U.S. investigators say there is no evidence that the British car bombing plot extended into this country, but it came out today that two of the doctors arrested in England once looked into finding work in the United States.
There was apparently this inquiry, which the FBI now confirms, from two of the suspects to a clearinghouse in Philadelphia that helps foreign doctors locate physicians here. But according to the FBI, after a preliminary contact between these two suspects in the UK and this Philadelphia facility, nothing further happened.
CBS News correspondent Bob Orr. An ACLU lawsuit challenging the Bush administration's domestic eavesdropping program was thrown out today by a three-judge federal appeals panel. The two Republican-appointed judges say the plaintiff showed no evidence they'd been spied on, but ACLU attorney Melissa Goodman asks, How could they?
The decision is the quintessential catch-22 because the court is saying you haven't shown you were actually wiretapped. And in fact, you could never show that you were actually wiretapped because the government won't tell you.
The dissenting judge, a Democratic appointee, says he believes the surveillance program violates federal law. Fortunately, the injuries were minor when a man started shooting early today inside the New York casino in Las Vegas. He fired from a balcony into the crowd of gamblers below. Police Captain James Dillon says 51-year-old Stephen Zagrian was emotionally distraught.
There is some information, not confirmed, that he had lost his job. There is some information regarding his relationship. There is some information regarding his financial situation.
Four people were wounded and one person was injured in the pandemonium as patrons fled. Zagrian was tackled by off-duty military reservists, and within hours, the slot machines and gaming tables were back in business. On Wall Street, the Dow up 45 points today, finishing the week at 13,611. The Dow's up 203 points this week. The Nasdaq gained 9 points to close at 2666. This is CBS News.
Will you love me when I turn 6?
Of course I will love you when you're 6.
Will you love me when I'm 10?
Of course I will love you when you're 10.
They'll always be your baby, which is why we've introduced the sedan rated the safest full-size car in America, the all-new 2008 Ford Taurus.
When I'm 15?
And while you can't engineer a mother's love, you can engineer safety. Taurus offers 6 standard airbags and features patented space architecture, which directs crash energy away from you. Plus, Taurus received 5-star crash test safety ratings for front and side impacts and is an IIHS top safety pick.
Will you love me when I'm as old as you?
I will love you forever.
The all-new Ford Taurus. Ford. Bold moves. Visit your Ford dealer or go to FordVehicles.com.
Based on an NHTSA 5-star frontal and side crash test rating and IIHS top safety pick with optional electronic stability control. Class is standard 5-passenger large cars.
Sometimes it seems kids grow up way too fast and not always in a good way. CBS's Karen Riegel has a case in point.
Two Oklahoma sisters have been accused of kidnapping a 1-year-old boy. Those sisters are 10 and 12.
We see kids do a lot of things. Usually kidnapping isn't one of them. This is pretty strange for us.
Enid, Oklahoma Police Lieutenant Tom Nichols says the tweens broke into a neighbor's house, took little Brandon, and left a note demanding $200,000.
At this time, they're charged as juveniles, but they're facing the charges of kidnapping for extortion, first-degree burglary.
The plot came apart when the girl's mother saw her daughters with the boy. Karen Riegel, CBS News.
A police official in Orange Beach, Alabama, says they thought they were dealing with a felon. A speeding car led them on a chase at speeds up to 100 miles per hour. The driver lost control. The car rolled over and came to a stop. And inside, they found an 11-year-old girl. She survived with minor injuries, but she's charged with drunk driving. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hi, Dave. Sandy here. During the night, there's going to be a huge buildup of pressure that releases scalding hot water onto the production line. Then the plant's going to shut down for the rest of the day. So that's your tomorrow. Bye now.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So to help control your temperature, Grainger's added thousands of new versatile plumbing products to help you get through the day. We're adding products and removing problems, from tempering valves to pressure-reducing valves, whatever the job takes. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Grainger.com. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Can you guess which state Michelin Man is in? Having left Utah, he's on the aptly named Loneliest Road. He'll drive vast distances without anything in sight, including a gas pump. That's why he has Michelin Hydro-Edge tires. As the longest-lasting, most fuel-efficient tires in their category, they're just right for lonely roads and high gas prices. For more on Hydro-Edge tires and to see which state Michelin Man is in, visit michelinman.com/guesswhere.
Michelin, a better way forward.
Category defined as premium-priced S&T passenger products.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Oh, yeah,
it's a party with electronic voting machines sleeping over. That's how you get up close and personal with them. And once you've slept with a voting machine, it's much easier to hack it, you know? I am your humble host, Peter B. Collins, delighted once again to be joined by Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com, a leading advocate for election protection and election reform in this country. And his summer road tour is underway. He joins us today from St. Louis. Hello, Brad.
Hello, Peter. How are you, my friend?
Not too bad. Things are going swimmingly.
I'm glad to hear it.
And before we get down to business, we've got some sound bites from Congressman Rush Holt that we're going to listen to and react to. But I wanted to tip people off that I'm going to take a long, long, long vacation in a couple of weeks, and Brad Friedman is going to sit in for me for about 8 days of my long, long, long vacation, starting on the 18th of July.
Yes, I was trying to take a long, long, long vacation, but you ruined that by having me come and sit in for you.
Well, and I'm blaming the airlines. I was planning to take 2 weeks and a couple of days, and they just will not let me fly back on the schedule I want, and so I'm forced to.
You have no choice.
Yep.
But I will hopefully fill the chair in your stead to make you proud.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, and I'm very grateful that you've interrupted your vacation so that I can extend mine.
I look forward to it myself.
So let's recap for our listeners. Last week, Larry Norden joined us from the Brennan Center at New York University, and we had a spirited discussion. You know, you can call it a debate if you want to, about the Holt bill. And I thought that you presented your comments very well, respectfully but firmly. And as we have mentioned, we've been trying for some time now to get Congressman Holt himself, the author of the bill, to come on the program and talk about it. And we even got a little nudge from Bob Edgar, who is the new president of Common Cause USA. When Edgar was a member of Congress, he had an intern, a young, I think, physics major from Princeton, named Rush Holt. And he said, you just call up the office there and tell him Bob Edgar said that you ought to talk to Rush Holt. Well, I did the name dropping and everything, and it's been 13 days. And so far, Congressman Holt has not found the time to talk with me, Brent.
He did not call you right back?
Nope, he didn't.
I can't imagine. Now, why would that be?
I did indicate that I had issues with H.R. 811. I was honest about that. Perhaps if I, you know, had said I wanted to invite him to a fundraiser.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, in truth, and I mentioned it last week when we were on with when Larry Norden came on, I do give him credit for showing up to talk about it, and it was a debate. It was a spirited debate, but it's exactly what we need for a bill of this import. You know, this is going to change our electoral system, and I think that the least that folks, whether you support it or don't support it, I think the least you could do is come out and make the case for it so Americans decide, you know, can decide for themselves what this bill really does and doesn't do. So to that end, I give credit to Larry Norden, and I'm sorry that Rush Holt decided to not come on your show and talk about this. He did agree to appear on Air America. I think you've got some clips, and I was given the opportunity to respond to him, but I will respond directly for you.
All right. Let's listen to the first clip here, and Richard Green of Air America interviewed Rush Holt. This is what went on.
Even then, I recognized there was a problem, and I said to the authors of the bill, because I was not directly involved in writing the bill, I talked to a couple of the authors of the bill, and I said, make sure that you have verifiability. I may have used the word auditability, I'm not sure, built into this. And they said, oh, don't worry, you know, there will be a hard copy printout of, you know, for each vote.
Okay, sounds good, right?
And then when it came to the floor, lo and behold, what they meant by that was, well, at the end of the day, if your jurisdiction is using an electronic voting machine, you can print out on paper what is in the electronic memory.
Which is, of course, ridiculous.
Which, of course, is not a voter verification.
Right. Can you explain? Can you explain the difference there?
Sure. Because it's a secret ballot, The only person who can verify that the vote is recorded properly is the voter herself or himself. There's no election official or no electronic voting machine manufacturer or software engineer or anybody who can provide the verification that the vote is recorded properly. Furthermore, we know there are too many instances of the electronics not working as advertised. You know, whether it's because of power failures or software errors or perhaps malicious hacking, what is recorded electronically might not be at all what the voter intended to do. Going back to the Help America Vote Act, the problem at the end of the day, a printout of what is in the electronic memory will only repeat whatever information is there, even if it's erroneous.
Exactly.
And
garbage in, garbage out.
And the voter is not able to verify that what went in there is correct.
So, Brad, what we're hearing is that Congressman Holt understands the problem.
He does understand the problem, and I've spoken to him directly about the problem. He understands the problem. Either he doesn't understand the solution, or he's kidding himself about the solution, because his bill, H.R. 811, will continue to use these very same machines that he was complaining about, these touchscreen direct recording electronic DRE voting systems. And in that same way, that piece of paper, that a voter cannot verify what's on that piece of paper, they similarly cannot verify when you're checking an election after, you know, a touchscreen election. There is no way to verify that the voter has in fact checked that piece of paper to make sure that it is accurate. And as you and I have discussed in a recent Rice University report came out showing that two-thirds of voters don't notice vote flips when they see it on the screen in front of their face. That's why I've been calling for a hand-marked paper ballot, which we know reflects the voter's intent. It is voter-verified by its very nature. And, again, he's sort of misrepresenting what they're allowing here. It gets worse sort of as the thing goes on, but he's misrepresenting exactly what his bill will allow, which is for these same touchscreen systems that where you can't verify that the vote is recorded accurately inside those machines.
And I'm going to just take a chance here and drop back into the interview. We'll see where we are. I'm
okay.
Just kind of driving
an
blind.
An indictment of their performance in the previous national elections, in the 2000 and 2004 elections, that somehow we were accusing them. Now, I do know some people around the country and some people in my district do accuse them, but I'm not doing that
I think some of our listeners here on Clout with Richard Green, including the host.
This legislation is bipartisan, not as bipartisan as I would like to see it, but
right.
There are, a couple of dozen Republican supporters and a couple hundred Democratic supporters in the House. It is not about a particular election. This is not get even time for the Florida in 2000 or Ohio in 2004. This is to put in place the kind of system that any American, regardless of party, should want, and any candidate, regardless of party, should want.
Now, how would you reflect on that, Brad?
He's talking about
trying a bipartisan approach, and on the face of it, I don't object. But if we exonerate all of the players in the purloined or questionable elections of our recent past, then we're just playing nice and we're not really fixing the problem.
Well, that's true. But I don't sense that's what he was trying to do there. In fact, I believe the host had asked him, why is it that the Republicans have not allowed such a bill to come up before?
Right.
And, and he's saying that, he doesn't understand why, because he would think that both parties would have an interest in having accurate elections. I agree there. And passing a bill such as this would not preclude going back and holding the criminals responsible who gamed previous elections. But they then go into a discussion about Florida. and the fact that even in Florida, which is run by, you know, a Republican House, a Republican Senate, a Republican governor, Holt lauds them because they passed a bill recently that, as he said, moves towards auditability and audits. Well, true enough, it does, but what Rush Holt did not mention was that that bill down in Florida bans DRE systems. And it's notable that he didn't mention it because they have been out pushing the notion that the Democratic House, the Democratic Senate, could not ban DREs. And so it's rather convenient for him to ignore the fact that Republicans, in fact, were able to do so down in Florida in that recent bill, frankly, leaving no excuse for Democrats to not do the same in this House bill, as far as I'm concerned.
Brad Friedman with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll take a break and return. More commentary from Rush Holt in this Air America interview, where he directly addresses the objections that Brad Friedman has raised to his H.R. 811. If you have a question or comment, there's room for your call now or later this hour. Get on the line, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security, investment, white picket fences. Did you know that real estate is the single most sought after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
There we go, folks. All right, let's get to it. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening. Got a problem here. CHP telling us about, well, let's see. We still have our Situation in Live Oak, Soquel Avenue and 17th Avenue. Two-vehicle crash. Left lane remains blocked. And it looks like that is in the clearing stages. Carmel Valley Road at Miramonte. Injury crash. Two vehicles involved. Emergency crews still on scene. They're still blocking the roadway. In fact, I can tell you this. CHP is actually doing one-way traffic control at this point. Santa Clara County, eastbound 152 after Bloomfield. We have a two-car crash. It's on the right shoulder. A reminder that in Hollister will have the about 100,000 people for the big motorcycle rally there.
Tuesday in November, I took that stroll to cast my ballot at the local poll. The lines were long, but I didn't care. I had water, a hat, and my folding chair. Walked up to the booth, didn't say a word. Sure that my voice would be heard. I hit that button, my vote was sent. But now nobody knows exactly where it went. I lost my vote. It isn't fair.
A little traveling music, election protection variety from Ellen Buxtel. It's called They Lost My Vote. And I just happen to have a T-shirt that says They Lost My Vote. And I'm willing to give it away to the third caller who wants to check in with us and talk about election issues today. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I think it's a large, if that's really important to you. Brad Friedman continues with us, and we're playing back a recent interview that Congressman Rush Holt gave to Air America's Richard Green. And let's get right to this clip, Brad, because, gosh, they mention you by name.
What is the issue that you and Brad Friedman disagree on?
Whether there should be, at any stage in an election, an electronic tally. And, you know, I say that when a voter goes in the booth, the voter, regardless of physical disabilities, blindness, whatever else, every voter should have the opportunity to make sure that her or his vote is recorded the way that they intended, and that be done on paper, on durable paper, you know, that is clearly marked. And the voter then leaves that record at the polling place because that is the ballot, the vote of record. And he says, well, if the voter has used an electronic machine to create that paper ballot, and the electronic machine also keeps an electronic tally, then there's something wrong with that. And I say, well, in most jurisdictions, a paper ballot, even if it's not created by an electronic machine, will be counted by an electronic machine. Now, you could specify hand-mark ballots only with hand counting only. I think that's a position that would lead to more voter irregularities than we have now.
And, all right, let's get a comment from Mr. Friedman. Has he correctly characterized your position, Brad?
Not even close, which is incredibly disappointing. I would have the courtesy to at least correctly characterize his position. For a start, what he's suggesting there, and out and out saying, is that I will. He says that I disagree whether there should be at any stage in an election an electronic tally. Now, I've not gone on record one way or another as far as that goes, as far as the use of optical scan systems being preferable to hand counted systems or vice versa. He is suggesting that I will settle for nothing less than hand counted paper ballots, which he knows is not true, since I have explained that directly to him as well as to his staff, and yet they continue to repeat that nonsense. Now, that is setting aside the fact that I would suggest that hand-counted paper ballots likely are the most accurate and the most reliable way to go, but I haven't made that call. I've said we need a paper ballot that is actually counted for every vote cast in America, and you'll note what he said, that he referred to these paper trails once again as paper ballots. Now, that's fine, but if he were here, I suppose, we could ask him if, in fact, those paper trails that come off of touchscreen machines are actually paper ballots, is he okay with the fact that 90% at a maximum, 90% of America's votes on touchscreen machines will, of America's ballots will never actually be counted in an election? I mean, it's an extraordinary statement when you think about it. If he is saying that these paper trails are ballots, the fact is those paper trails are counted mostly in these audits after Election Day. They will be counted usually 3% of them under his bill, sometimes as many as 10%. That means 90% of America's quote-unquote ballots will never be counted. Obviously, those aren't ballots. Those are paper trails because we've got an election here, and in an election, in theory, you count the ballots. So if he's okay with that, boy, I sure would like him to answer to that.
Well, and Brad, you and I have been talking almost every week for almost 2 years now, and I have never heard you make a categorical statement about optical scanners. You've raised issues about their vulnerabilities, but as I recall, in most cases, you see them as less a threat than the DREs, particularly because after a ballot has been scanned, there's a ballot that can be counted later.
That's right. And I mean, I've not argued in favor of OpScan over anything else. I've only argued for the ballot. And what they have done is they have conflated these touchscreen systems with these OpScans, which can, in fact, be hacked. And I've certainly reported on that plenty of times, either hacked or misprogrammed and so forth. That's why you do need the audits that his bill is calling for if you are going to use optical scan systems. But what they're saying is that an electronic count is an electronic count. It makes no difference if it's a touchscreen or if it's an op scan. And they know that is completely, patently untrue and scientifically unsupportable. Because what you have when you're using a paper-based system, even if you're doing the initial tabulation by op scan, you have got a stack of ballots that reflect the voter intent. You don't have that with the touchscreen system ever.
We're going to take a break. More with Brad Friedman and your phone calls, too, on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join ThinkerToys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why ThinkerToys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. ThinkerToys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters in Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a minor malfunction here at the technical sector of the Peter B. Collins Show, and I believe it's my fault. Continue rocking in the free world. We're talking with Brad Friedman. If you've never been there, you have to visit his blog. It's bradblog.com, the leading site for news and views about election problems and efforts to correct them in this country. And Brad is with us again today. Brad, I wanted to just follow up and finish off the interview that we've been playing snippets from with Congressman Rush Holt and the discussion of his H.R. 811. I understand there was one other comment that he made in that interview that you wanted to respond to.
Yeah, and thanks for letting me do that. And by the way, I want to touch base on Dennis Kucinich here in a second. But one of the things that Holt had finished up during that interview with saying, and this is a direct quote, he said, "With this legislation, the voter can be confident that any such error, whether it's a hack, just an innocent error, or even an interface problem, a problem between the voter and the electronics, a human factors problem, as they say, it will be caught. It will be caught, and it will be corrected." Well, unfortunately, Congressman Holt, who is quite literally a rocket scientist,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, he's a physicist.
He is indeed. And he knows better. He knows that's not true, or at least if he doesn't, he certainly should, because the folks that he's been working with at the Brennan Center, as we discussed last week when you had Larry Norton and I debate this issue, they know very well that there are ways that you can hack these systems, these touchscreen systems with paper trails in such a way that it will not be caught and it will not be corrected. And at the heart of it, that's the bottom line here. Of my concerns for this bill. Look, there's a lot of good stuff in that bill. I was privileged to help put some of it in there myself. But at the end of the day, if we're going to end up with a system that will not ensure that hacking and errors and everything else are caught and corrected, I suggest it's more dangerous than what we have now, because at least we don't have a false sense of confidence right now that this system actually works. And so we need legislation that's going to correct this problem once and for all.
And Brad, if I snidely refer to this as leave no voting vendor behind or no voting machine manufacturer behind, what is the status of funding in the Holt bill? Is there a chunk of money that would be delivered to the states to help implement the standards that are codified in H.R. 811?
Actually, there is. There is enormous chunks of money, frankly, that are going to be, once again, made available to these private companies who are using secret software to count our votes. And one of the good things about this bill originally, when it was introduced, was that all of the source code for these systems would be completely opened, so that anybody who, and I actually included the language there during the drafts, that anybody who asked for them, anyone in the public who wanted to see how our voting system, you know, how our votes were being counted, would be entitled to take a look at that source code. Well, by the time it got out of committee, and by the time the voting, the vendor lobbyists got at them, in fact, that had been changed so that only folks who are privileged enough to be considered experts will be able to look at the source code in any way, and they'll have to do so under non-disclosure agreements, and source code will be put into escrow, which we've already found to be a problem recently out here in California.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, we're codifying secret vote counting. Remember, vote casting should be secret. Vote counting should not be. And now we're codifying this into federal law. And that's really a terrible precedent to set for a democracy which relies only on transparency to assure that it's kept honest. You know, I was in Nashville earlier in the week, and I was at a meeting of the Nashville Davidson County Election Commission, and the state election commissioner was there. And there was a Democratic congressman from the House, Jim Cooper. He was also there. And he said, well, gosh, you know, I don't want to jump to a new system unless we know it's going to be perfect.
Hmm.
So I want to wait until we get a perfect system before we mandate any changes. And basically, you know, I spoke up at this meeting, and I said, look, there is no perfect system. The only way to assure anything close to it is to assure as much transparency by as many eyeballs as possible. And you only get that with the paper ballot system that anyone in the world can take a look at. You can't get it with these secret vote counting machines that nobody can see how they're counting our votes.
And, Brad, later in this Air America interview, Holt, without being specific, said that he hopes that H.R. 811 will come to the floor soon. What is your current sense of the resistance that he's been getting from various sectors, not only ours? And what do you think about the timing?
Well, yeah, he said it'll come up within a couple of weeks, I think was his exact quote. It does have enough co-sponsors, I believe, that to pass the bill immediately. A majority of Congress members have actually signed on to this thing, if I'm not mistaken. So why the holdup? I can't tell you. I can tell you what they tell us is that it is the elections officials who are fighting back, and the members are facing a lot of blowback from that, and that has temporarily got this thing stalled. I don't know if we can believe that or not. I haven't been able to verify that. It's only coming out of Holt's office right now, and they've put some information out there in the past that, shall we say, is less than accurate. So
Okay.
I'm not sure what to think. In the meantime, as you noted, I believe, did you say you had Kucinich on earlier today?
Yes, the congressman led off the show today.
And he was able to confirm, in fact, that he was dropping his co-sponsorship of this bill?
He did. And I want to be careful in my quotes here because sometimes I round things off. But it was at the tail end of an interview mostly about the Sicko film and his universal health care plans. And what I asked him was, you know, do you support it and are you still a co-signer? And I believe what he told me was that he has withdrawn as a co-sponsor of the bill. And then he larded a bunch of nice things on Rush Holt, how much he likes him and what a wonderful colleague he is. And he said that until some changes are made, he cannot support it.
Well, that's good to hear. He's still currently listed. He had announced that he was going to drop his co-sponsorship. He's still listed as a co-sponsor at the government at the Library of Congress website in the Thomas database. But I don't know if they have any means to remove folks once they've become co-sponsors. So it's hard to tell right now. I haven't gotten to talk to him to find out if, in fact, he's dropped out. I know he announced his intention, and I'm glad he has, because you know, we can't just rally for any election reform. We've got to get it right this time. So, you know, I laud him for realizing that. And, in fact, he had in the last session introduced a hand-counted paper ballot bill to hand-count presidential elections. He says he's going to be reintroducing that in this session. I don't think he has yet, but sounds like a good idea to me.
One other quick legislative update, Brad Friedman. A couple of weeks ago when you were on the road, Ellen Tyson sat in for you and ran down for us the serious flaws and defects in some election reform legislation being put forward by California Senator Dianne Feinstein. Has that bill gone to committee? Have there been any hearings, or is it still at the proposal stage?
I believe it's still at the proposal stage. It's still sort of hanging out there. Which for now is good, because Ellen is right. She did cover this at certainly at votersunite.org and at brandblog.com. It's even worse than the Holt bill, if you can imagine. It gets distressing, Peter. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the most glaring thing is that it packs a lot of power into the Election Assistance Commission, and we've talked about what a lame outfit that is, all White House appointees, and no real independence that voters could rely on.
No, they're completely cooked and compromised, and, giving them more power instead of less at this point is an outrage. It's very disappointing, frankly, to see Democrats passing these sorts of bills. I hate to beat up on Democrats, but I tell you, going back to that meeting in Nashville a few days ago of the election committee, there was five members of the committee, three Democrats, two Republicans. Well, the two Republicans, I got to tell you, were slick, were sharp, had their facts good to go. Never mind that their facts were not really true. They knew what was going on, and they had the propaganda and the talking points, and the three Democrats said virtually nothing. I mean, one of them spoke, the other two literally said nothing the entire meeting to counter the nonsense and the propaganda that the Republicans were putting out there. So I think Democrats really need to figure out what's going on here, step up, and take government as seriously as the Republicans, who are out there claiming that, you know, they hate government, right? They want to see less government instead of more. But boy, oh boy, when it comes time to assign folks, and this committee is assigned the Davidson County, Tennessee Election Commission, they put their Sharpies on the Election Commission because they realize how important elections are. I'm afraid the Democrats, at least in that county, don't seem to get it, because they are not serving the people. They may be in the majority on that commission, but I'll tell you who was running that meeting. It was the two Republicans down there, and that's very, very distressing.
Let's go to the phones. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number. Jake knows the number, and Jake's not shy about criticizing Democrats either. Go ahead, Jake.
Hey, Peter B. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Jake.
Well, you know, unfortunately, on the issue of election integrity, both parties need to be criticized. Of course, the Republicans for their, you know, blatant fraud. And even with their blatant fraud, last November, the American people stood up and threw the Republican bums out of office in a landslide so overwhelming they weren't even able to steal the election this time. But, you know, keeping in mind that the 2000 presidential election, the 2002 congressional races, the 2004 presidential election all appear to have been stolen in the Republican Party's favor. You know, Brad, how is it that the Democrats can settle for anything less than real election reform? How is it that they can just, you know, let this issue go by?
Well, and, you know, they also don't realize that they were likely screwed over in the 2006 election as well. I suspect they would have gotten more seats had there been clean elections. How they could do it, you know, I don't know. It's been said that, you know, the folks, since we have to sort of rely so often on the folks in office to make the new election laws, remember, these people all got elected. And I think there is a prevailing sense of, hey, the system couldn't be that bad. It got me elected. So, maybe they don't really understand it. I find that it's usually only after one has had their ox gored, pun intended.
That's gore as a verb.
That's right. It's only after that they realize, oh, we got a problem here. And this is true for Democrats and Republicans alike. You do have Republicans, you know, out there in Arizona, for example. a key member of the State House has been Karen Johnson, a Republican who's been fighting for electoral reform because, guess what, back in 1992, she was campaign director for Pat Buchanan, and they were leading going into those primaries in Arizona, and what do you know, somehow they lost to George Bush Sr. And so now she has become an ardent election integrity advocate. So, you know, I think until you've really been screwed by the system, and you can ask, you know, Christine Jennings down in Sarasota about that, people don't tend to take this stuff seriously. And, you know, they can talk all they want, but until they, you know, take action and really understand what it means to have transparent elections, we're just going to keep getting more of the same. Again, it's up to the people. You guys got to work those phones. You guys got to call those Congress members and demand legitimate election reform.
All right, Jake, thanks for the call today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Nice to talk to you as usual. We're going to take a break and return with Brad Friedman. There's room for another call or two if you want to join us. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. And we're going to have to choose the news. More stories than we can fit in. Where's the outrage? Vote caging. And as CEO of Halliburton, did Dick Cheney patronize the D.C. madam? We'll try to address all of those in our final segment coming up next. Brad Friedman with me here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Have you ever felt trapped by fears, anxieties, and limitations in your life? Are there recurring problems you just can't seem to solve? There are solutions to the traps and puzzles of life, and Glenn Brooks, host of Vibrant Living, can show you how to find them. Join Glenn and Simone Zone creator John Mejia for a special Vibrant Living series on energy, psychology, and what it could do for you. This simple, respectful, drug-free, holistic approach based on current understanding of imagery, acupuncture, and focus can open up new insights and abilities. Saturday at 11 a.m. to noon right here on KRXA 540.
There we go, folks. Okay, take a look at the latest. We've got plenty of problems. First of all, we're going to take a look at our crash in, Santa Clara County, 152 eastbound after Bloomfield. Two-car crash, right shoulder. Live Oak still on the scene of a problem. Soquel Avenue at 17th. Two vehicles involved in this crash. Left lane blocked at this point, and the CHP is on the scene.
The Peter B. Collins Show. 9 minutes away from the hour. We continue our weekly visit with Brad Friedman, his Bradness, from bradblog.com.
That girl, that one with a deep face, still a main street red over her head.
And who's been out there watching the detectives? Well, maybe the escorts who worked for the D.C. madam. Her name is Palfrey, something Jean Palfrey. And the judge today allowed her, I guess they released an injunction against Deborah Jean Palfrey for revealing the phone records that she kept when she was operating a D.C. Madam escort or massage service from Vallejo, California, which we have to give her credit for using the technology and trying to, I guess, stay out of the reach of the local law there in D.C. But, Brad, I watched for the first time a couple of months back. It was in early May. I watched ABC's 2020. I haven't watched it in years. And they were promising to give us the deep dirt from the D.C. Madam case. And they whiffed. It's clear that somebody got to them and they spiked the story. Because after teasing it for sweeps time, Brian Ross came on and claimed that no government officials or no people who we would recognize had their names showing up on the list. And while we don't have complete contradiction of that to date, it may surface as the D.C. madam releases these phone records.
Well, you know what? Indeed. And as I always tell everyone, don't trust me. I'm not to be trusted. I'm just a blogger. I would also suggest you don't trust ABC News or Brian Ross or the New York Times or AP and, you know, demand that they verify, you know, independently verify the things that they report. So to that end, we're not going to trust ABC. We've been in touch with the D.C. madam, Deborah Jean Palfrey, for quite a few days. We've been talking to her, and the injunction was released yesterday. She's now available to release her list. And, you know, it's been rumored that Dick Cheney was on that list. And one of the things that we were able to do immediately was sort of debunk that rumor. She told us that she is not aware of him being on that list. In fact, her list is actually a bunch of phone numbers, not actually names. And so it's going to take some reverse lookups and so forth to try to figure out who these numbers were. We're going to try to do that at Bradblog. I know that it's salacious and everything else, but you know America only responds to sex scandals, Peter.
Right.
So
well, and it was already juicy that this guy, Randall Tobias, who was the head of the abstinence program, trying to foist that on people all across the world using American tax dollars, was one of the people who has admitted that he was a customer of the D.C. madam. He said he had these girls over, but nothing happened.
Right, just massages, as I think it was.
Yeah, $300 and can we talk?
Well, that's right. And here's the troubling aspect of this thing that Palfrey confirmed to us, that, in fact, she doesn't even know who her, let's call them, associates actually are. You know, she pawns these guys off to various girls and so forth, doesn't know who they are, doesn't vet them. And so, in fact, you know, a lot of these folks in D.C. are opening themselves up to blackmail, like Randall Tobias, as you said, you know, not knowing who it is that is servicing them, shall we say, and, you know, puts them and certainly our government at great risk. Now, what she says is that she believes there are quite a few more government officials on that list. And if so, then I would suggest that they are, you know, at some exposure here. So we're going to try to look into it, see what we can find. And then, of course, we will report things one way or another, actually, as we did with Cheney. We were happy to say, look, she cannot confirm that he is on that list. And we're going to do our best to confirm it ourselves one way or another. And I you know, it is salacious, but heck, if a guy like Dick Cheney shows up to be on that list, even if it was 10 years ago while he was working at Halliburton, you know, lying us into war, leading us to the death of hundreds of thousands of folks, may be something that our government doesn't much care about. But boy, if they're involved in a sex scandal,
you bet
Cheney will be out of office in no time. Don't you worry.
Well, and maybe he had a code name like Ricardo Grande.
Yes.
We'll just have to wait to find out.
We will, and I want to give credit to Joseph Cannon. He's, especially while I'm on the road, not able to do very much over the next bunch of weeks and even months here. Joseph Cannon of Cannon Fire blogspot.com has been covering this for Brad Blog, and he's going to keep digging, and I've been talking to him, and we'll see, but I suspect there may be more to come, so keep your eyes on Brad Blog, even if I find a moment to get the heck off the grid and go canoeing down a river sometime between now and whenever.
All right, I hope you do.
I hope so, too.
Not enough time, but I want to drop a URL here, crisispapers.org, www.crisispapers.org. This is the website of Ernest Partridge, and I was referred to this by Mark Crispin Miller in New York, and he's written a powerful essay based on new reporting by a website in New Zealand called Scoop, that offers more evidence that millions of Kerry votes were switched to Bush in 2004 and millions more of graveyard votes were added to Bush's total. Again, you can read that at Crisis Papers. Let me get it up here again, crisispapers.org. And, Brad, one more item. This also came in from Mark Crispin Miller's listserv. And it names a couple of other people in relation to Tim Griffin, Karl Rove, and the so-called vote-caging operation of the Republican National Commission, a committee. Sean Reinschmidt and Rich Beeson. These two were, Reinschmidt, who was a senior research analyst for the RNC. He was on one of the emails that was sent by Kelly Porter of the Republican Party of Florida to Tim Griffin with a caging list attachment. And there are other emails quoted here, too. Also, a gentleman named Chris Carr, executive director of the Nevada Republican Party. And I don't know if you've had a chance to read up on this. Do you have
any? I've actually seen some of that, and I want to point folks over to E Pluribus Media, because they have been going through those caging lists, doing quite a bit of verification, looking into some of those names you're talking about. I believe that report actually comes from them.
You are right.
I've been in touch with them. They're doing a good job. I think it's epluribusmedia.com.
.org. epluribusmedia.org.
And they are doing what the mainstream media is not, and they are digging into this stuff and verifying and validating and authenticating, and that's what they should be doing. And they're a community site, so they welcome research from the community. So if you're a digger and an investigator and you like using Google, get over to E Pluribus Media and help them save the world.
Once again, epluribusmedia.org. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Always my pleasure. Have a great weekend, my friend.
All right, thank you, Brad. I'm Peter B. Collins. This program produced by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban took your calls today. Visit peterbcollins.com. See what happens.
Who cares about the clouds if we're together?
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It was cooler in Phoenix today, 112 degrees, down from 115 yesterday. It's unlikely anyone felt the difference as the heat wave persisted across much of the West. Boise, Idaho hit 105. It was 115 in Needles, California. CBS News correspondent Bill Whitaker reports the heat combined with drought is taking a toll on agriculture.
The mountain snowpack and reservoirs are way down. Now, because of heat, irrigation demand is up.
Some of the smaller basins may run out of water, and that will cut off irrigation supplies earlier than normal.
95% of California's pasture land is too dry to feed livestock.
A Montana rancher says they're working to harvest the hay before it gets crispy and just falls apart. Consumers, watch out, says this California produce distributor.
More likely we are going to see a price increase. And the immediate increase is going to be in the vegetables because they feel the heat right away. After that, the fruit.
Forecasters say the West will see some relief over the weekend as the heat wave moves east. An internal dispute at the National Hurricane Center has gone public with a letter signed by about half the staff saying Director Bill Proenza has to go.
None of us to sign that letter wanted to have to go to the press, but we felt we had no other choice because the views were one-sided and our opinions had not been expressed.
Meteorologist Daniel Brown is one of the signatories. He and his colleagues say Proenza undermined public confidence in the Hurricane Center with his dire prediction that forecasts would be affected if an aging weather satellite fails. The dissidents say it would be no big deal. Proenza, who replaced Director Max Mayfield in January, says he has no intention of resigning, but would if his bosses at the Commerce Department think it best. The FBI confirmed today that two of the suspects in the British car bombing plot once inquired about work in the United States, but CBS News correspondent Richard Roth in London reports it never went farther than that.
There's no evidence any of the suspects now in British custody ever traveled to the U.S. According to law enforcement sources, the links to America investigated so far are insignificant.
The worldwide series of live Earth concerts begins within half an hour in Sydney, Australia, ending tomorrow night in Washington and New York. CBS News correspondent Mark Phillips reports from the venue in London.
Rock stars with their private jets and their big limos.